Fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
I'm believing God that for grace this morning, I guess the message might be a little bit long because I want to finish up so that I won't have to minister, again. So I'm really believing God that I would have grace to finish up everything.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Samarco fele presta, paresa presta, precasa pra pracasa press. As a precasa 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 paracadaliba. Oh, for it's a burden of the Spirit that is upon you. It's a burden of the Lord that is upon you. For I, your Lord, place that burden on you. I place that burden on you. And my servants, even bore witness in that you should minister, in that you should minister, in that you should minister, in that you should minister. For you see, you should minister, you should minister, you should minister. And as you minister, I will make that which is the burden open more. I will make it open more. For it's a burden. It's a burden of the Lord. It's a burden of the Lord, and it will open. You will even see that it's opening. You will see it open more. You will see it open more. So do not try and be hurrying. Do not try and hastily touch it. Allow a thorough walk. Allow a thorough walk. Allow a thorough walk. If need be that you may still minister, allow it. Allow it. Allow it. Until the body has fully rested. Until the body has fully done its work. Until all of the body has been given. Until all of the body has been shared. And for that purpose, I have even sent an emissary standing with you. For there is an angel from heaven standing with you, helping you to minister. Helping you to minister, to press out everything, to press out it in grace, to press it out in grace, to press it out in grace, to press it out with a lot of utterance, with a lot of skill, with a lot of wisdom. I am going to press it out. I will press it out. I will press it out. All of it. All of it. I will press it all out. I will press it all out because I have my children here. I have my children. We will even visit the message again, and I want them to be blessed. I want them to partake of that grace and to be help. So allow it. Allow it. Allow even that angel that is with you. Allow. 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 Yield to the yield to the instructions. Yield to the steering. Yield to the nudging. Allow it. Allow it. Allow it. Allow it. Allow it. Allow it. For you are coming into a order. You are coming into an order where you will also begin to take long teachings. Long teachings. Long teachings. Because of the burden of the Lord. Because of the burden of the Lord. Burden of the Lord. Burden of the Lord. It is a weight that you are carrying, and you will yet carry it. You will yet carry it. You will yet carry it because I have things I want to supply to my body. I have things I want to supply to my people. So allow me, say the Lord, and you will surely be a vessel that will minister by grace, say the Lord.
Amen. So this morning we are going to be looking at Christ. Pastor was teaching us on Thursday about Christ, about garments, and how Christ is a garment, and how if you're waiting for salvation, there is a place we need to be found. And you know, in that place where we're going to be found, we must have a particular kind of garment, and which is Christ. And you know, the peak of that garment is having charity. And you know, we can't talk about charity abstractly. It actually plays out in our relationship. So we're going to be looking at our relationship. We're going to be looking at marriage. We're going to be looking at relationship as leaders to the saints. And then we're going to be looking at relationship as saints to the leaders. You know, it's still going to be like a continuation of what we did last week as we extract Josiah and how he's seeking to the Lord played out. And you would see how he's seeking the Lord played out beyond just removing the idols and also in empowering the people to serve the Lord, in empowering the people to do God's will, and in empowering the people to stand in their order. So we'll be looking at that this morning, looking at different things. So I just want us to prepare our hearts, you know. It might be a little bit scattered all over the place, but we'll look at marriage, we'll look at our relationship, because these are the places where all of these things that we are hearing usually play out. So, and I really want to, you know, as I was preparing for this, as I was preparing for this message, you know, and thinking about the issue of marriage, you know, and looking at my own life as an example, my relationship with my husband, I couldn't really but thank God for my husband, because, you know, many times you are just, when we are in darkness, we don't know. I was telling, Gillian came to see me in the office doing this week, and I was sharing some things to her. I said, many times you don't even know we are in darkness until light shines. You just feel you are okay. As in what I mean by okay, that you just feel you are doing your best until light shines. And then when light shines, it empowers you to now make adjustments. So I was giving out some of the examples when I first got married and all that, and some of the things, and how when light came, you know, especially when Mommy Ellen started talking, when we had this family life summit, the first time Mommy Ellen came, then when Mommy Adebola came, you know, some of the things that you just do that you just feel is just normal, then you now begin to see that those things are actually darkness, you know, and the darkness that you actually need to walk away from, and that you can't talk about being spiritual if you don't walk out of those darkness. Right. But you know, that's okay. But you know, just looking back, that why I'm grateful to God for Pastor was that even in those darkness, you know, having the grace to bear. You know, you know that it is darkness, but you can't even tell the person that it is darkness. Go madija, you know. But having the grace to even bear, that was one of the things I was thinking about this morning. I know many times also I cannot bear with the saints too, that are in darkness, that I know in darkness, and I'm hungry. And you know, and then God began to show me how he as a person also bore with me until I was able to move away out of that darkness and then embrace, you know, the things that were being relieved. So I really want to appreciate you. Thank you. So I have to do this morning. Thank you so, so much. Thank you. I am really grateful. You know, perhaps if, you know, and I want to use this to encourage, maybe I'll start from that, encourage a lot of husbands that are here. Maybe you feel your wife is naughty, your wife is hearing the truth, she's not changing, your wife is, you know, your wife finished praying the morning, and after that she's still rude to you, you know, and all that, and you know, you want to use that to even...
For even there are many things, even many things, Even many things I still want to yet show. Even I still want to yet show. I still want to show. Even shine light upon. Even shine light upon. Even shine light upon. Many things I still want you to see. Even many things I still want you to see. Even many things in my heart. Even I still want you to see. Many things. Many things. Many things to press forth. Many things to bring forth. Many things to bring forth. Even many things. Many things. Many things. Many things to bring forth. Even things you know not of, things that you even overlooked. For I've even raised even my servant, even I've raised my servant, even as an example, even as a worthy example, even as a house of example. So I say, even ye men, lean forward. Even lean closer to see. Even lean closer, even to learn. Even lean closer. Even come closer. Even lean closer. Likewise, ye women, even you women, for even my handmaiden, even my handmaiden, even my handmaid is a work in my hand. It's a work in my hand that you can see through. That you can see through to learn, even to see. For there are many things I want to say through them. There are many things I want to speak forth. There are many things I want to beg from them. I want to beg it from them. And that's what I'm taking. I'm taking them through even that walk, even through that path, So there will be custodians of blessing, even blessing that you can see, that you can see. So I say, open your heart, for there are things, even treasures that I've put upon my hand, made it to bear out, even to bring forth by the Spirit and through experience. So I say, do not take it with lightness, even the things that will be said. Do not say, you've been married for so many years, we are just three years. Oh, for that work that I did in 15 years, I want to compress it in 2 years. I want to compress it in a year. Even that which I've taken them through, even I want to bring it as a compressed work for you. As a compressed work. So you can come into their victory. So even things I'm going to bring forth are things for your victory. I want to minister victory to you, say the Lord.
Amen. So the truth is that there are certain natures that we must imbibe if we want Christ to flourish, you know, as a man, even in your wife. So there are times that maybe your wife is not what you think. The excuse is not what your wife is or what she's not. It is how much as a man you can actually live with her with understanding. And without understanding is two things. I'm still going to look into it. Is how much you can live with her with understanding. Understanding of the word first, of what the word says, you know, concerning what a man should do. A man should give himself, nourish, you know, sanctify, honor, and all of those things, be patient and all that. Is how much you can, based on the understanding that is coming, how much you can first of all live with a woman. You know, so many men cannot live with women with understanding. You know, you live with her with her flesh. And what I mean with her flesh is that you live with her with her infirmities. So when she's giving you hurt, you look for a way to get back at her. So that's not living with understanding. Living with understanding is looking at what does Christ say. Christ is the standard. Looking at understandings that have come, things that have been shared, using those things, you know, to live with her and not based on what she does or what she does not do. Amen. You know, if you are able to do that sincerely, you are a spiritual man. I give it to you. Sincerely, I give it to you. And it's something that we must all look up to, because at the end of the day, you know, like Pastor was preaching this morning, we must have faith and patience, even for people to change. Amen. You know, you must have faith and patience for people to change. So pending the time, that in that process of patience, how are you handling things? How are you using that whole process as well to mature and come into the things that God also has for you. Amen. Amen. Let's quickly go into the teaching. So, like Pastor taught us during the week, one way to judge spirituality is Christ. That a spiritual man is Christ. And when you talk about Christ, one way you can define Christ, Christ is a man of charity. Say a man of charity. You know, many times you talk about Christ, you can think of his good mysteries, all the complicated things and all that. But one simple way of judging how much of seeing Christ is that Christ is a man of what? Charity. That just summarizes him. He's a man of charity. And that is a spiritual man. So one way of judging a person to know, that brother is very spiritual. You know, it's good to have revelation, to have understanding, to be able to pray, to be able to study, to be able to do, you know, so many spiritual gymnastics. But a major way of judging a spiritual man is to know how charitable that person is. And when I'm charitable, I'm not looking at charitable in the NGO world. I'm talking about how much the work of charity that has been done in that soul. It is a major indices, and it's something that we ourselves must start looking at in assessing ourselves. You know, one of the things that after that Thursday meeting, I was thanking God after the meeting. And what was I thanking God for? I was thanking God for another opportunity to have Christ formed in me. Amen. You know, all the while, even when this light of everlasting light came in, I used to tell my husband that I feel that there are certain things that are lacking. That when Christ was being preached, that maybe I didn't pay a lot of attention to. So, but you know, as he was preaching that day, and I was giving us all those practical indices to know how much of Christ has been formed in us, I saw those deficits. It's like seeing a deficit in your building, you know, which I'd always noted that this thing, there is something about this thing that is not gauging. But you know, it's just like that day was just like God opening eyes to see, or you know, when you see cracks in the building and you see places where, you know, things needs to be fixed. So charity is like a plumb line, you know, that you must use to judge our spirituality. If you are found wanting it, I know sometimes when you read about the Corinthian church that they are carnal, you don't see yourself in that light. You know, just feed the Corinthians church. You know, there's where you see yourself. You know, but charity is a major, is a litmus test of how spiritual, you know, that you are. So even if you know all the scriptures, even if you are, God is speaking with you 24/7, you know, and all of those things that, and those are, it's okay, you know, even if you have all of those things, but you lack that. In that area, if that charity thing is not gauging, they are not yet spiritual. And we must see that. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why God is taking us back, you know, to give us, not just like Paul said, my little children, in whom what? I travel again. That means that he had traveled before. And also just travel again, that Christ be what? Formed in you. Say, my little children, for whom I labor in baths, what? Again. So that means he had labored before. Now he's coming into another level of labor again. And what is his old mission? Just to see Christ formed in them. Just to see Christ established inside them. So I believe that some of the things that are coming to us in this season is God giving us another chance to ensure that this Christ thing is really formed in us. How is this? Does this disapprove all the truth about everlasting light? No. In fact, the reason why we are seeing Christ better now is because of the everlasting light that is shining. The everlasting light that is shining is making us to be able to see better. You know, it is beaming that light and making us to see those things clearer, even with an higher judgment. You know, so I believe that it's a season whereby many, all of us need, so it's like God giving us another year, giving us another chance for us in places where we still have, you know, deficits, where we have things that are not yet form. God giving us another chance again for those things of Christ to be fully formed in us. You know, because if those things are not, like Pastor said that day, that is the place where we will stand for us to be able to even smell salvation. You know, the fullness of salvation. Amen. So one thing about Christ is that actually Christ sanctifies. Christ is a sanctifier. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians. Which verse now? 1 Corinthians, when he said Christ is wisdom, 1 Corinthians chapter 30, 130, sorry. 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us what? Wisdom from God. And what? Righteousness. And what? Sanctification. And what? Redemption. So one of the things that learning Christ does for us is to sanctify us, is to cleanse us. You know, we cannot remove. So you know, people that feel that they are all right, there's nothing wrong with you. You don't know Christ. If you touch Christ, one of the things he will do is that he's always about cleansing, sanctifying, separation, purification. Anytime you touch Christ, you always touch that. That's why if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20, which we read on Thursday, you see that he said, and you have not so learned Christ. And part of learning Christ, one of the things that happens to you when you learn Christ is that you begin to put off things. As in, and those things you begin to put off are those impurities in our soul. Things that over time has been said that you put off concerning what? Your former conduct. The old man, which grows. So the old man also grows. So that's why people can grow in iniquity. People can grow in corruption. Say, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, this is what will happen to you. You will begin to put off old things. So you cannot put off old things until we begin to learn Christ. You cannot put off old things by self-will. Tell neighbor, say, you cannot put off old things by self-will. So it takes learning. So one of the things that the learning of Christ does to our soul is that it empowers us to put off old nature. You know, all things. The things that are not in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are because. So there are all things. So one of the things that Christ does, curriculum of Christ does, is to take away the old and bring us into new. So we cannot come into, and if not the first thing they do, they don't put the new on hold. So nobody puts a new garment on an old one. So the first thing they first of all do when you start learning Christ is to put off the old garment. When you now put off the old garment, then you now be reclothed with a new one. So that's why some of you learning is like, as if we are not always all right. There's always something I have to deal with in my life. Yes, you are in that process of sanctification. It is first uprooting before building an establishment. So they want to remove those things. Then after we have that put off, then we can now begin to put on what? The new things. Because they will, nobody will put, you know, it's in the gospel. So nobody puts on old garments on a new one. You have to first of all take away the old, and then you take, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will do what? Bust the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. So there are wineskins that are garments that we have had. There are natures that will not allow everlasting life to stay. If they leave those things in us, you know, all this everlasting life will just be a waste. It will not find expression. So they have to first of all take off the old things that will not allow the new to do what? To stay. Amen. So let's look at 25 of that Ephesians that we've read. So when we put off the old, then they begin. So there are things that we have to put off. Natures, malice, you know. If you read that scriptures, you know. He said, you see the things I'm supposed to put away. And you see all the things they said we should put away. You see that all those things are in the context of relationship. All the things they said we should put out are what? In the context of relationship. You know, it is in our relationship. It is not when you are reading the Bible. Can you be lying to the Bible? It is one to another. He said, let each one of you, therefore put away what? Lying. Let each one of you speak truth with what? He did not say with the Holy Spirit. With who? She become a believer's man. People are born. You know, it was in this place. I know that, you know, people can be hearing everlasting life and they'll be lying. And I mean, lie of ojukoroju, as in, what is it? What is ojukoroju in English? I don't want to speak Yoruba today. Help me. Eh? As in, blatant lying. And then you know, that thing used to disturb myself. Say, you are lying, as in, you know. No, it's something I cannot. And people will lie, you know. They will even lie because they believe that they heard God and they want to do God's will, and they will be lying. That already, how will I put it? That already disqualify whatever you say you are even doing for God. You know, blatant lie. So if it is or not, so you know, Paul was not writing to unbelievers. He was writing to the church. He said, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. you know, for we are members of one another. I said, be hungry and do not sin. You know, Pastor is explaining this to us that, you know, this is a great skill for you to be hungry and not sin. Many times you get hungry and we sin. So one of the things that Christ will do when you have learned Christ well is that those things that make you angry and sin, Christ will take it away. So do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Verse 6, let him who stole still no longer. Pastor took time to explain all these things, taking advantage of the brethren. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Can you see all of these things? Are they abstract? They're in the context of what? Relationship. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that he may impart grace to the hearer. So one of the things when we are learning Christ and we are becoming spiritual is that God also touches our tongue. The way we speak, you become cautious. You know, I was saying, as I said, I'd always notice, you know, sometimes when you just talk and you just misyan, when maybe you're just angry and you just do over bar, over bar, when you kick penalty and it's just over the bar, you know, and just speak words that are actually over the bar. You know, sometimes it's not because you're hungry, it's because it is still part of the old man. There is something about learning Christ that deals with that your words are wholesome. They are edifying. They minister grace to the hearers. I know, yeah. Pastor said something on Thursday that I wrote that he said, when Christ is formed in you, there is a way he governs you from inside that you cannot misyan. So when you still miss, so I told myself, all this misfiring that I used to do when I'm hungry is because there is still a deficit. It's because that Christ is not yet. So there's a way Christ is formed with you and he governs you from within, that no matter what situation you are, you don't go over the bar. Your words are still wholesome. You know, sometimes when you can say, he got me angry. That was why I said it out of anger. It's not you said it out of anger. It is that old man within you. That there's that type of that needs to be taken away. So the next verse said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, from whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, you know, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All of these things are what learning of Christ does. That the things they have to take away. So when you are still malicious, when you still have clamor, when you still speak evil of people, all those things show that, Christ is not yet fully formed. You see, we must use all these are indices. You should list them down. You know, sometimes they say you should list things. You know, you want to go take admission. And you know, they look at your English. Did you make, you know, when they want to screen you for admission, they look at your whole levels, English. Did you make English? Did you make geography? These are the things you should list. And know if these things are still there, they know that you have not yet made it in Christ. Why did I say? So that means there is still work to be done. And then what? Be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Next, move to the next chapter. Therefore, be imitators of God. So after you've done all these Christ things, that way you cannot be moving to God things. You cannot start imitating God. If you have not done that Ephesians chapter 4, you cannot come here. So therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us and offering a sweet sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. So you will see that learning of Christ helps you to put things away, and then you now begin to put on what? A new nature. So Christ is a sanctifier. Say Christ is a sanctifier. So learning Christ helps to put off and then to put on a new nature. He actually cleanses us to make us part of him. John 13 verse 8. So if he doesn't cleanse you, you cannot be part of him. One of the ways you begin to lay hold on Christ, that Christ becomes part of you, that you can lay hold on Christ, is when he begins to wash you. He has to wash all of these things. He said, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you do what? Have no part in me. So part of inheriting Christ is for us to go through washings. Say washings. He has to cleanse us. He has to work on us. He has to take away. So you see, part of one thing about why is all the time we are sin conscious? It's not about being sin conscious. Part of the major things we come to do when we do to our soul when we are harder to touch is to do cleansing. You see, a major part of the curriculum is to wash us, because that is the only way we become actively part of Him. I know that we seated with Christ in heavenly places, but for you to sit with Him on His throne, all of these things has to be taken away. So if I do not wash you, you have what? No part with me. Not in me. With me. So if He doesn't wash you, you have no part with me. You can be in Him, but not be with Him. So washing is what makes you to do what? Have a part with Him. That is what makes you have a part. So not just only seated in Him, you are seated with Him. You are inheriting with Him. You are co-heirs of eternal life with Him. So it is washing. Say washing. So we must love washing. Say we must love washing. We must like teachings that address washing. Teachings that takes away that. I see one of the major ways that God washes us is through His word. Washing of the water by what? The word. That's why you see a believer that jokes with the word. That liquor can never be clean. You will not be clean if you don't pay attention to the word. You see, I looked at my life and I said that all the adjustments that I've been able to make, how did I make those adjustments? It was through preaching. Light comes and then I'm able to adjust. Because if those lights doesn't come, you won't even know that those things you are doing are wrong. You won't even know. You know that Saul thought he was doing the work of God. Saul of Tarsus thought he was doing, and really, based on the Torah, based on the law, what he was doing was written in the law. Because those that blaspheme the name of God needs to be killed. So he thought he was doing the work of God. Imagine, doing it zealously with everything. Persecuting, not that he was persecuting God himself. Until light, and a bright light. Well, not just an ordinary light. Because he was already in deep into that thing. Nobody can preach that thing away from him. There was even no Pharisee or Sadducee that can teach him otherwise. He took a great light, shining, said at midday, hawking along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with him. And that was his deliverance. Light is deliverance. Somebody was saying light is deliverance. So that's one of the things we must pray for this year is that that light will shine on us. All those dark places in our life that don't even know that we are in darkness, that light has to visit those places. So when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So before this light came, Saul did not know he was persecuting God. He thought he was doing the work of God. He thought he was obeying the prophet. He thought he was doing the law. What was written, until a greater light, had to shine. And then he saw himself in darkness. And that brought about a new walk, for him entirely. That is what light does. May light visit us this year. The light will visit us. Great light from above. It will shine on us in our places of darkness. Places of darkness where we have built houses. Some of us have built mansion in darkness. And we feel that it is God. Nature's perspective, standards, that we feel is at the right things, norms and all that. And then we don't even know until light shines. May light visit us. May light shine upon our dark places. And bring great deliverance to us. So that was what happened to Saul. The same thing with Josiah. No, we were reading Josiah last week, and you will see that prior to that time, all the kings, all those kings, Solomon brought up. And Solomon was a great king. And so I'm sure when he started enacting all those high places for his concubines and all that, all the people would just have felt that was the right thing. And they started worshiping there. He was a great king. He had so much. How he started now? So, to the people, they would just feel that those things are right. And over generations, it became enacted. Nobody, Josiah was coming. Josiah was far. You know, those things had been established. You know, many of the kings that came, they established a whole lot of idolatry, you know, that when they came on the scene, they just met it. So then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon, people that God had warned them against. Verse 8, and he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 13. Then the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, even on the mountain that was renamed after corruption. And you see, it was Solomon that built it, though. With Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of Sidonians, the Chemosh, the abomination of Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. So he built these things. You know, these things can be values. They don't see them as just happy. They can be values, principles, you know, that generation, that they are called desolations of many generations, that we just embraced as part of. So people came, after they had gone, people came, they did not even have the law. They just felt, so they would go to these mountains and go and sacrifice there and do things, and they'll just feel it's the norm. And they'll just feel it is right. Until that issue happened, until they found the book of the law. It was when they found the book of the law, you know, that they now read the book of the law to the king. That the king read out, man, all the things you are doing, they are abominations. Many of the things we have in the temple, many of the things we have in Jerusalem were abominations according to the law. You know, that law is like light. That's why if light doesn't come, you will wallow in darkness. So imagine them generations coming and going. They were stirring the anger and the wrath of God, and they did not even know. Until light came. Until they found the book of the law, and it was read. You know, when the king heard it, what did they say? He tore his clothes. Okay, man. See, most like maybe even him too. Some of these places, they say, it was King Solomon that built it. Maybe even him too. He has gone to do some things there. Not knowing that it was darkness. Until they found the book of law. And then he found out that, man, all these things were wrong. That's why light must visit us. That's why we cannot joke with light. If you joke with light, you are playing with darkness. So it was until that law came, then they began to see that all the things, if you read that whole second, everything they were doing, we see that it was just darkness. And because of that, they could not keep God's Passover. They said that for many years, they could not keep Passover because that whole assembly, that whole generation of people were consumed in darkness. And so we'll see the role of light. So light's coming, making them to see. Then they began to take steps. And you know, it was not as if it did not only take away all the shrines, even in the house of the Lord. Even the ones in the city. Say the ones in the cities. Let's look at verse 19 of that scripture. Now Josiah took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made. So it was kings, it was people were not there. So you see, different kind of mindset, different kinds of standards, even in the society that we embrace now. Now you see people that don't get married, they will go and be doing IVF to have children. That's another abomination that started seeing. And you know, for any normal person, you just say, you know what, when you do not get married, why can't you have a child? A child is supposed to be born in wedlock. Supposed to be the reward of two, not the reward of one. And so you see some of these abominations that, in fact, it will spread so much that after a while, now it just started. If in another 30, 40 years, it can become enough. Just see ladies not wanting to marry and they will have children. People are already doing it. People that don't get married, you see them outside the country, they go and do IVF. They go to sperm bank and collect sperm and then they give birth to children. How much only baba? So you see all manner of abomination because, you know, there is, you know, so that's why all this bisexuality, gay and all that, it is removing ancient landmarks. A child should be raised in the context of a family. Have you not heard something? I've heard people say something like maybe a sister is old, maybe he's already 46 or 47. Have you heard something like this? Maybe you are big and say, even if the mad person that impregnates you, just get pregnant for one man and have a child. Say abominations. Those are high places. Those are mindsets. You know, I'm just telling you to know about mindsets. You know, mindsets as a different kind of wrong mindset that people even sell. And so, even if you now cannot get pregnant outside wedlock, you now see one guy, either it makes sense or it don't make sense. You now go and marry him. It's still the same thing. Say it is still the same thing. Abominations, mindsets. You know, standards that do not have any basis in the scripture. That have no scriptural basis. You know, that's what I was saying, this, all things about heaven help those who help themselves. You know, those kind of prevalent, use your sense. God gave you sense so that you not give him, how do you say that nonsense? So that you not give, God gave you sense so that you know, so that you can rest. Say abominations. Wrong mindsets. You know, that have become prevalent. People have said it over and over. You even hear it on the pulpit. You know, remember a preacher, my brother that is not even so much, you know, like Jim like that. He went to one church and he stopped going to the church. Why did he stop going to church? He said, I know you Yahoo people. You are plenty in my church. He said, that church is Yahoo church. He said, I know the Yahoo boys are plenty in the church. He said, I know you people. You are doing Yahoo. So they can see some of the things that people do not, when we read it, that they have shrines in the church, in the temple. It looks vague. Let me explain to you. Said a preacher on the pulpit was saying that in that church you have a lot of Yahoo. Said, I know you boys that are doing Yahoo. Said, you see, you need to stop. He said, you know how you said, come and see me. We'll tell you how to convert all the money you have taken into legit business so that you can stop those things. So you should come and see him. He said, we'll teach you how to turn all those money into, convert them into legit businesses. And then you can stop the Yahoo. They are supposed to be raining fire and brimstone on their head from the pulpit. So he said that was the last day he went to that church. That because even him, that he knows that God did not call him, knows that that is wrong. That's the way he said, Emigan, to me, but no, Emigan, to me, Bokbo, I'm making it wrong. And he stopped going to that church. He said, he had a friend that was an unbeliever that he forced to church that day. That both of them were just discussing in the church. That why the pastor say such a thing? They know you guys, I know you are plenty. You are here. He said, see, we know how we can help you. Just come. We help you turn all this your money into legit business that you can have a retirement plan from all this Yahoo Yahoo thing that you are doing. And leave the and exit from the Yahoo Yahoo thing on the pulpit. So say we need light. We need that light needs to shine. It is light that cleanses. Light cleanses and takes away wrong perspective, wrong standards, you know, wrong values. It takes away all of those things. That is one of the things that light does. Amen. Amen. So you will see that for like I said, you will see that as they found the book of the law, it did not only affect even their, it moved even beyond just the temple into the entire city. It was a total cleansing. After the old cleansing, it ushered them into a new season entirely. Why did I say? They were not able to come into the feast of the Lord. They were not able, but you know, that cleansing needed to take place before they could come into the feast of Passover. And you know, because of the cleansing that had taken place, they were able to take their place and stand in their different others. It played out even in their relationship. Because when it comes to keeping the feast of Passover, there is an order. There are things that need to be done. People need to stand in certain positions, or else they won't be able to keep the feast of Passover the way the Lord wants. Let's go to the Second Chronicles version of this to see some of these things that I want us to look at this morning. Let's look at Second Chronicles 35. So now Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. But you know, before they did all of these things, like I said, they had first of all been a cleansing. You know, what I told you is that you have to first of all put off the old before we can do what? Put on the new. Before we go to let us look at Titus chapter 2. You will see that we're talking about the grace of God. That the grace of God the grace of God is a teacher. For the grace of God that brings salvation, there's a grace that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. And what does it do? Not like we read in Ephesians chapter 4, when you learn Christ, that are certain things that happens. If you see what this grace is going to do, you see the first things are things that needs to be taken away. He said, teaching us that we should do what? Deny ungodliness. And what? Worldly lust. So you have to first of all take away ungodliness and worldly lust before you can now begin to do what? Live soberly and what? Righteously and what? Godly. Not in heaven, no. Where? So that's one of the things that grace. So when you talk about, you know, the way people see grace, it's not Oreo affair. That Oreo affair is to help you deny ungodliness. Deny what? Worldly lust. Say worldly lust. So it helps you to deny those things, to put off those things. Then after you have been able to put off those things, that is when you can now begin to live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in the present day. The same thing also, you cannot be a man of charity if they have not cleansed you. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 20. You will see that they have to first of all purify your soul. You see, you cannot love that. But since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth, this truth is a teaching. Through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, then you cannot begin to love one another what? Fervently. With what? A pure heart. You can't love fervently when you don't have a pure heart. So it takes purification. What I'm trying to explain is that it takes purification, it takes sanctification before we can begin to live righteously, before we can begin to do what? Live soberly. So they have to first of all uproot certain things in our life, take away certain impurities. Then we can now begin to operate in the things that God actually ordained for us. Amen. Amen. So things need to be taken away. Traditions of men, philosophies of men, Colossians 2. And you see, that is why Colossians 2. You see, as you are learning Christ, you will see that you will begin to have enmity with this world. Your people in your house will not like you if they're not spiritual. They will say that your own is too much. People in your workplace will not like you. They will say that you are an extremist. Because you will have conflict with what standards. Yes, you would always have what? You know, dates yet. They say your own is too. That's one thing about Christ. Christ brings about separation. Say separation. So if you are still party, all your old friends, all your old friends are still your party now, then we need to check you. They are still your party. You know, I'm not saying they should be your enemies, but you know, they are still your 5 and 7. 5 and 6, as in you flow with them. There is no you can be with them for 24 hours and there is no conflict. There is no argument with your discussion. They are unbelievers. They are old people. There is no conflict. There is nothing. As in there is no time standards in Kolu standards. Then there is something we need to query. We need to query you. What did I say? But there is something that there is no way when Christ has washed you, standards will clash with standards. So you will see that in the place of work, let me give you a practical example. In the place of work, when everybody comes, even when they come, when they come 10 o'clock and there is a sign book, they will write 8 o'clock. So imagine you, so that thing has happened to somebody here before. You knew you now come, you come 9 o'clock, maybe you came to work around maybe 9, and then you write 9. You know that when you write 9, there's nobody can come after you and write 8 o'clock again. Yeah. And then they pick for a kilo share Why are you writing the lead time? So you said that the person that came 8:05, person that came 7, person that eight, just 8:08. Everybody just write 8. But you, because you want to hold the chair, then you come, maybe you came around 8:30, then you just write 8:30. You know all the people that came, that they can't write 8, you have already bashed it. That will create warfare in workplace. So there are things. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. So there are philosophies of this world. You know, have you sat down with some people that have philosophy? In this world, you know, when your uncles, you know, some of those your uncles, when they sit with you, they now confuse you. You now come to church, you now be confused. You say you don't even know how your life is. That is as if I'm not progressing. What if you philosophy that will even see a room? See, by the time I was your age, I was the one sending all your junior ones to school. I was paying their school fees. I was doing this. Had built a house for my parents. I've bought a car for them. So what are you doing? I'm just wasting away. And they begin to give philosophy. You know, they just begin to tell you certain things, and the whole thing just scatters your heaven. And then you don't look at your life that God, am I not wasting away like this? Philosophy, empty deceits. Traditions of men. Say traditions of men. This is how we do it in our family. Ask them, is it in the scripture? And they say, that's how they do it in my family. I need to just follow suit. According to the tradition of men. According to the basic, can you see? Basic principles. And what are basic principles? Your covetousness. Those are big principles of the world. Selfless. Self-centered. This world is built on the principle of self. Woman, that's why you have all these human rights, feminism, everything. Even this gating is based on self. This way I'm feeling. So you deny your physical apparatus because of the way I am feeling. And I have a right to the way I am feeling. And what are not according to Christ. So let people must, you must get to a place in your work that people must say that yet it bought you. Are you the first person that would get born again? Say according to Christ. So anything that is not according to Christ, in principles, in workplace, in your business, in the ways you relate, in the ways, you know, Pastor was telling us last week about the fact that before now, when people are doing Emmy, they will bring Orogbo, they will bring Oni. I remember, and it's true, when we were doing Emmy for our last born, I remember, we have this decanter bottle, they put Oni, they put salt in, all of those things. I remember very well. I remember very well. So Orogbo, and it was pastors that came, and they took it, pastors, they came and they were taking, I remember our last one, and it was pastors that came until when the Pentecostal fathers came, and then they began, then they shattered all of those things. That's a tradition. They say, Toshiman Sheninye. That is how they have always done it. Until when all these are Pentecostal. That's why you should know, all people that open their mouth and just talk about Pentecostal, you don't know the battles they fought. They fought battles for us. You should have been coming and just be fighting the battle now. Maybe now when they want to name, what is his name? When you want to name Mishai, now be fighting. No, I'm not using Orogbo. I'm not using. They have helped us to fight those battles. They've cleared the road for us, so we are not battling that, but we have other things that we are not going to fight for our own children that are coming after us. Traditions of men. You know, yesterday, we were still meeting with people that were intending to marry, and I said, don't put yourself under any pressure. Who told you that you must wear 2 clothes for wedding? That after you do church, that you must change to another reception dress. Fine, if you have the money, if you have plenty of money to, but who told you that you must? Who told you that you must have a DJ and a live band? So when you're thinking about wedding, say wedding. And then you're under pressure. You're actually sorrowful. All the things are sorrowful is because you are looking for the money to do all of those things. Who told you? Actually, they must say, who told you? Who told you? You know, so many things that people will not have money. Maybe you just have a little to start your life, and you cannot start your life because of all these traditions of men. Of all this philosophy, you know, philosophy that we have, that's just an area. Who told you? How can they say who told you? So many things. You don't understand there's a standard. You know, there's a way on your engagement. There's a way you must look. There's a kind of drunk light you must wear. You must have an hand fan. You must have one shoe. Your shoe and bag must match. Who told you? Say, who told you? I know the funny thing is that fashion keeps inventing and they keep changing. Who told you? So when there is no money, just say, me still a fan. You rather go and borrow to buy fan. No, it's not fan in the house, so you don't have fan in the house, so but you want to buy the one that has feather. That after that day, the thing said, you don't use glue to glue and finish. You cannot close. You cannot even bring it to church to find yourself. Say, who told you? We must learn how to abase and abound. We must not be covetous. We must put this thing. See, Father, if Sister Dola does a wedding, no, those are basic things. See, if Sister Dola does a wedding, she has everything set. She has everything. There is a DJ. There is a whatever. There is decoration. There is cake. There is two cakes. There is one for marriage. There is one for engagement. She's the after party. You know, she does everything. Resources might be available for her to do that. That might not be your own cross. And those things are not indices of a good wedding. Yeah. Wedding, you're all good, God. Those are not the indices of a good what? Marriage. No, nobody is doing wedding again with tents. Who told you? Oh, Nissin. Oh, nobody go. Okay, maybe she just rent a tent and just let it say, no, it's hall. Who told? Actually, they would say, who told you? When they were joining Adam and Eve, I don't know if they joined them together. Did they rent tents to invite all the angels? She was a reception in the Garden of Eden. I did reception, no. So they not say I'm a machine. I did reception. But resources were available. My parents had the money to kill the cow. I didn't use my money to buy cow for people to come and eat. So, philosophies, traditions. So you have many people. God has even given you enough resources to marry, but you cannot see it. And the reason you cannot see it is because of traditions. There's enough for you to do what? Get married. If you will not caveat, if you will not follow the traditions of men. So that permeates every different areas of our life. Things that we just follow. We just follow just like that. We just follow. Don't get it. That's how they do it. You must learn to question things. Is it according to Christ? Is it what? According to Christ. Just move, bring even anybody, even if it's lame, bring any guy. Just bring him. You are 37 years old. Even if he's short, even if he doesn't have leg, just bring a guy. I'm telling you some of the pressures that we face from home. Just bring a guy. Bring a guy. A guy. Just bring anybody. May you not bring anybody. Anybody. Those are things some of the people in that we call Pentecost now, that they fought. They stood their ground. I cannot be unequally yoked. They fought those things. So you, with all the everything that they now see you that you are sorrowful. I say, you know, share. When I went home, they were giving pressure. They said, even if anybody, I should be used to you, are now sorrowful. What? You can't nail it back. They now say somebody has lower lights. Eh? The Lord, see this year, God will visit us. Yeah. Some of you need to sit down and speak to your parents. Ask your mommy. I say, mommy, in your marriage, are you happy? Can you pray that this kind of marriage that I have, that may my daughter have this kind of marriage? So in other words, I said that if you don't want that to be my portion, let me wait on God and marry right. Mommy, do you want me to end up like you? To end up with a man like the man you married? Hey, come and tell you my for it. Some of us, we need to preach to our parents. You need to communicate your faith. Yeah. What you believe. That this is my philosophy about marriage. That I am a Christian and this is what I believe about marriage. Amen. You need to sit down sometimes and communicate your faith to your parents and let them know your stand. And let them know your stand by faith. And this is what I believe. That I can't, mommy, I can't just marry anybody. I have to be led. Can you remember Kunle? Omo, colleague me. Tajo she shiny night post. the guy is in UK now and he's doing well though. He's even coming home. He hasn't married though. And the mommy mother asks after you. That she also asks after you. And then they'll introduce you to one another. Say, Kiloti, what are you looking for? He has a job. He's doing well. He's God fearing. Oh Lord, church. Kiloti, what are you looking for again? You have to sit down and say that it is more than that. That marriage is more than that. You have to communicate. Say, communicate your faith. And don't be ashamed. To do that, to communicate your faith, to communicate your conviction. That is what it means to be a believer. A believer is not just what you feel in the form, religion, Christianity, Muslim or tradition. That is not what it is. Believe me that you believe in something. You believe in a person and you believe in that way of life. I am a believer. This is what I believe in. And this is what I am what living for. Amen. So there are things that God wants to take away. See, there are things that God wants to take away. God is going to take away those things and teach us how to live. So like we said, there is no, let's look at that 2 Corinthians 35. So you will see that 2 Chronicles 35. So you see that that reformation was not just only treating with, after it had done purging, it also set things in place. Let me open my Bible, 2 Chronicles 35. Verse 2. Let's read verse 2. So you know that I believe that in that book of the law was also details of how to keep Passover. We did not just tell them, you know, things that they should not do, but also where the feasts were listed there, and because there were instructions on even how to keep the feast of Passover, what people should do. If you read the whole of Leviticus, you see that when you are doing Passover, these tell them where to burn where to kill the animal, where to put the blood, where to kill the fat, where they should even eat the whatever that are killed, the people that don't have lamb for Passover, what you should do today. They were specific instructions, same instructions. That's why if you don't like keeping instructions, you cannot do well in these parts. Because everything about working with God has to do with instructions, same instructions. So one of the ways to train our soul to be able to keep instructions that God will give us is to first of all receive instructions from men. So everything, okay, as you're going now, drop in Bodija, buy this thing. Then after you drop in Bodija, go to food co, get this thing, buy it there. Then after that, now come back. Don't say, food co, it doesn't make, and then, those are not good trainings. And then you come and say, I've done it. I should buy something. I bought everything. Even I've seen everything in one place. But it's not good training for that. That was what Saul did. So we must, so even in the book of Lord, there are instructions. But you see, God has to train. One of the things you must then this year is how to keep instructions. How to receive and keep instructions. I believe that during teachings, instructions come. So you must be able to track instructions and keep those instructions. And you know, one of the ways to be able to track and keep instructions is that even when people are giving you instructions, you are able to do what? Keep the instructions. It is always life. Tell them, but say it is life. Hey, no, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what you cannot go far with God. So that's why, you know, that's why we have parents. You instruct your children. You instruct them until they come to a place where they can receive instructions from God directly. The same thing also with us. We need instructions from God as training to help us to be able to keep instructions even from God when they come. Amen. So I believe that in that book of law, there are instructions on how to keep Passover. So verse 7, and he said the priests in their duties. Because if you look at Leviticus, there were duties that priests were supposed to take. So he said, Josiah was able, based on those instructions, able to set the priests in their duties and encourage them for the service of the house of the Lord. Then he said to the Levites, who taught all Israel, who were holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built. It shall no longer be a burden on your shoulder. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Let's go to prepare yourselves according to your father's houses, because even in keeping Passover, it was supposed to be house by house. You know, Levites had others in which you were supposed to keep Passover. So you see, he said, prepare yourself according to your father's houses, according to your divisions, following the written instruction of what? David, king of Israel, and what? The written instruction of Solomon, his son. So all those things were documented in the book of law. And stand in the holy place according to the division of the father's houses of your brethren, the lay people, and according to the division of the father's house of the Levites. So he set them in order. Verse 6. So slaughter the Passover offerings, consecrate yourself and prepare them for your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Verse 7. Then Josiah gave the lay people lambs and young goats from the flock, all for Passover offerings, for all who were present, to the number of 30,000, as well as what? 3,000 cattle. These were what? From the king's possession. So they empowered the people. You know, that's one of the major work of ministry, to empower the people to do the one of the work of the gifts that God has placed in the body is to empower people to do the work of ministry, to do the will of God. We are going to see all this, still going to pray out. So you see how encountering the book of the law, how it's played out. Setting houses in order, giving them instructions on how to do, empowering the people to do the will of God. Verse 8, and his leaders gave willingly. So it was not only the king, even the leaders gave willingly to the people. So that's one thing I know. You see, when you're beginning to encounter light, it makes you a giver. you'll be forgive easily. You'll be able to give. You'll be a giver. You can release. You can release easily. And Elias gave willingly to the people, to the priest, to the Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jael, rulers of the house of God, gave to the priest for the Passover offerings 2,600 from the flock and 300 cattle. Also, Konaniah, his brothers, Shemaiah and Nathaniel, and Azbiah and Jael and Josad, chief of the Levites, gave to the Levites for Passover offerings 5,000 from the flock and 500 cattle. People were living sacrificially. That's one of the things that lights with doors. That makes you sacrificial. You can give yourself willingly. You see, you can give yourself. They are just sold out. Just because you want to do God's will. So the service was prepared and the priests stood in their places and the Levites in their divisions according to what the king's command. And they slaughtered the Passover offerings and the priests sprinkled the blood with their hands while the Levites skinned the animals. Verse 12. Then they removed the burnt offerings that they might give them to the divisions of the fathers and sons of the lay people to offer to the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so they did with the cattle. So there were instructions. Also, they roasted the Passover offerings with fire according to the ordinance, but other holy offerings they boiled in pots, in cauldrons, and in pans, and divided them quickly among all the lay people. Verse 14. Then afterward, they prepared portions for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busy in offering burnt offerings and fat until now. Therefore, the Levites prepared portions for themselves and for the priests. And the... So you can see how they were all working together, you know, just to ensure that the will of God was done. I'm going to say verse 15. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their places. According to the command of David, Asaph, Eman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer. Also, the gatekeepers were at each gate. They did not have to leave their position because their brethren, the Levites, prepared what? Portions for them. I like this place. This place really caught my attention. So the gatekeepers were able to stay in their positions because their brethren, the Levites, prepared portions for them. Everyone was doing what they ought to do. They were all working together to see that the will of God finds expression. So what am I trying to say? When we find the book, when light shines, it also plays out in the way we relate. It plays out in our word relationship. So we see all of them being set in positions, being set in their order, doing what they are supposed to do. Can you take me to 2 Judges, to Judges chapter 2? When leaders lead. Judges 5, sorry. So then Deborah and Barak, the son of Amnon, sang on that day saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, what happens? Bless the Lord. The things of God flourishes. Bless the Lord. The Lord is praised. The Lord becomes known when leaders lead and when people will willingly offer themselves. So you will see that from Josiah finding the law, seeking the law, finding the law, rebuilding the temple, purging the land, then we can see the service in the house. How things took what? Order. How things did what? Played out. And that's why we'll also be looking at our relationships. That's why I said, so we can see how important it is. There is no way we can be taught, we can be teaching light and be saying that we are coming into light and it will not touch our relationship. It will not show in our marriage. It will not show in the way we relate to one another. It has to show. Say it has to show. In fact, that is where it will play out. Amen. I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, deal with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being what? Of what? grace of life. So there's something, so that's why, that's the first thing that should be at the back of our minds. Even when you are choosing, when you want to marry, but the marriage is not just because you, not just because you have crossed age 30, but because there is something God has in mind. There is a life that the Lord wants us to do what? To inherit. So he said that because of that, because there is something at stake, say because there is something at stake, there is a way you would live with one another. Said, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be what? Hindered. So there's a way that you can live with a woman that makes you have a closed heaven. Brothers, are you listening to me? So sometimes, so that's why you cannot joke with a relationship. If you're married, you cannot joke with the relationship with your wife. It's an area you have to look into. In fact, marriage can take you into hellfire, into lake, if you're not careful. Because there's a life to be inherited. So he said, live with them with what? Understanding. Understanding of the word. What does the word say concerning living with a woman? You know, not according to traditions, not according to the philosophies of life, not according to the basic rudiments of this world. You know, there are certain basic principles that people have about marriage. As a man, some of you see, have determined that, you know, some of those basic rudiments that your family, you know, some people, they are married, but they have not left their family. Yes, so. What did the Bible say? It said, therefore, they did not even say a woman. They said what? You leave your father's house and you will do what? I can't hear you. Oh, sorrow. My brother's sorrow. Please let me project that scripture. Let them read it. Oh, brother, stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. But marry dance. If you marry, show me, marry me. Please give me that scripture. Give me that scripture. Toby is the man behind the screen. Therefore shall a man. I want you to read 1, 2, 3, go. Sit down. And he shall leave his father and mother and be what? Joined to what? His wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. See, some people, men will marry and they have not left. They still put their family first above their wife. And some of them have married, but they still live as two separate entities. If you are like that, you are not living with understanding. Your prayers cannot be answered. I'm not the one that said so. It is in the Bible. So, those of you that want to marry, begin to jar any brain. Are you sure you want to pay this price? Amen. If you cannot pay, don't marry. Because you may even prosper more as a single than when you get married and you are not doing this. So that your prayers may not be hindered. So when you marry, those are the things you must begin to check in your home. How much are you joined to your wife? And you see, that journey is not only in prayer. When you come and agree in prayer that we want to pray, we need money, when we join hands together. No. Joined to your wife in understanding, in mindset, in belief, spiritually and naturally. Those people, they have two different mindsets. Me, I don't believe in my child having immunization. I go. My mommy used concussion to raise all of us, and we are doing well. I'm telling you something that I can be as practical as that. And they cannot agree. Your mom comes to help you take care of a child. They have said that in the hospital. I'm telling you practical things, so that you will know if you have left or you have not left. There's a practical thing in the hospital. Don't use hot water to, you know, they say, they use, what's the English now? Please borrow me English. I don't hear plenty English too much. To, you shall understand, to jog the wound. Borrow me English now. To heal the wound. And he said, but you know, they also said, don't use hot water. Then the woman, of course, the one goes, the one that goes to antenatal and then comes back and then say, this is what the doctor said, though, that you should not use hot water. Then the mother, you say, that's that boy. Bonnie. All of you, that's where I raised all of you. Then instead of you coming to maybe broker peace, they say, yeah, being real. What did my mommy say? You just follow. Be humble, submit. You have not left. Say you have not left. You have not left. Say, you therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one. This also applies to money. Say money. You know, I was telling my husband, I said, a man can make a woman a devil. As in, you can make a woman what? A devil. Shall leave the woman is not spiritual. She's carnal. She try. He now meets you. You know, the woman is supposed to get better and become spiritual, but the woman can be go backward and become a devil. Which one is worse than Cana? Ben, as you turn her into devil. And you see, and I must say this, you know, there are times, I have to be very practical. You know, there are times that maybe your wife is in a phase of her life, maybe where she's not working, that you are the one, you are the soul. How do I put it? You are the one bringing the, that have the financial capacity. Don't torment your wife with money. Don't use money to punish her. People do it. Don't say time. Don't use money to punish your wife. You should be one with money. Both the person, both the bringy and the spendy. These are basics. You should be what? Should be one. Amen. Don't say you can't understand now. Why are not the one working? You cannot understand. Maybe she says, I need this. Say, no, you cannot have it. Even if you don't want her to have it at that time, maybe because there's a financial strain, there's a way you see that make her understand that, see, this is what we have. These are our needs. Can this thing be prioritized? That's what I said, living with understanding. Amen. Don't just be brash and not say, whatever. Just be brash. You need to be sensitive. Not only spiritual sensitivity, natural sensitivity. Be sensitive to the needs of your wife. As men, you should go home and ask your wife, what are the things that I'm doing that I'm not doing right? Amen. I don't just assume that you are doing well. Say, man, try. I'm not the one that will score yourself. You go home and ask your wife, sweetheart, how am I doing? But yeah, and try. Say with understanding. You see, there's a spiritual understanding. There's also a natural understanding. Try to also want to know what are the things you like that you feel that if I'm doing will make you more happy. You should know what are the things that will make you happy. What are the things that will make you pleased with me? Kini mo le se fun te pori e ma ma wu. Say understanding. Let me say, she doesn't understand me. She doesn't understand me. Do you understand her? Yeah. Let's understand her. What are the things? What are the things you want? What are the things that make you unhappy? What are the things that are bothering you? Hallelujah. You know, it's part of spiritual. It's not as if you are not going through things. So you are going through the part of spiritual maturity is looking into the affairs of others. That includes your wife. Because you know. I've spoken to some women, even here in this church, doesn't even care. He's not sensitive. That's a Because, and it's true, because you have house rent to pay, you have school fees to pay, you have all this, you can actually become insensitive. So when I say live with them in understanding, you also don't understand of the scripture, even trying to understand what they are going through, what they are feeling, what they want, is also part of it. Say amen.
Amen.
So if so, that's why I say, if you're a selfish person, you have no business in marriage. If it is all about you, just want somebody that wash your clothes, cook for you, warm your bed, you don't need marriage. You can as well employ a cook and a cleaner. It's just like I cannot employ a bedmate. We can employ those other two. Because marriage is about service. Say service. It's about serving the other person. She said you should dwell with them what? With understanding. You don't honor a woman because of the fat salary she brings. You honor a woman because the Bible, the Lord says so. And you don't honor her because she's even spiritual. She can be carnal. Yet, as long as you have taken your mouth to go and toast her and say, the Lord says you are the we and you are married, you must honor her. Say honor.
Honor.
Somebody say, okay, somebody say, there's nothing good about her. Oh, stubborn, buruku. Oh, stubborn. Go, Tosha, mommy, come, bono. Say, oh no. Mommy, Tosha, oh my, dishonor me. Say, oh no. Even if she dishonors you, honor. That is the instruction. That is living with the understanding is that the teaching, the light is that you honor your what? Your wife. So you must honor her. And you see, that honor is not saying, I honor you. That honor shows, reflects in first in words. How you talk to her. You just come out from work. You see the house, they say, ah. In English, is anybody living in this house? So what have you been doing all day? What have you been, you know, when people say, when you have a woman, maybe an housewife, and you feel they're not working, they're not doing anything, you are wicked. You should come and change roles. You know, cunning child alone. Say cunning child. Hey, my brother, it's not easy. It's not easy. Cunning child, cleaning the house. See, it was when I went to, when I went to US, you know, then I used to say, when I came back, I repented. You know, and I said, this Ayomi day, she's not doing anything. But I don't even know what this Ayomi day is doing for me. Then what do you do for me in the morning? You just cut salad. Cut salad. I don't eat anything, just salad. So when I now travel to the US, you know, it's salad I eat in the morning. And then I will say, well, sometimes you even cut the salad. I will not eat the salad. I said, the way she cuts the cabbage, that the leaves are not where I arranged. They are too big. I may not eat it. So when I went to travel to US and I bought all the things I used to switch for salad. First day when I cut it, when I cut it the way I like, I'm going to go about free tricky. Maybe it's just because I've started. Second day, after a while, if you see the way I was cutting the thing, you know, carrot. You know when you are scraping carrot, I like my carrot being scraped that there will be no brown. So that when I see the carrot, it is all pink. The first time I was in a hurry, I go cook it for Otima. I just imagined it. Right there and there, I was repenting. I said, God, I'm sorry for all the time I abuse her. I know that there's nothing she's doing for me than doing salad for me in the morning. That this salad is work. In fact, when I was buying things online, I had to look for the things they used to make salad peeling. I bought those things. When I came, I said, I'm there. I bought this thing for you so that it make your work easy. And I'm not telling you that sometimes, you know, you just feel people are not doing anything because you just feel you've gone to work, you have tie, you are calculating numbers and all that. Some of all those mundane work, say mundane work. No, I said, what is there in washing toilet and bathroom? When I finished washing, the first day when I got there, they said, if you don't wash, where you are going to pay 1,000 $5 if the place is not. So the first, so every week I wash my bedroom is washed twice a week. So when I first got there, the first day, Wednesday, after I washed it, it was still like film trick. Saturday I washed it. The following week, I told myself, I said, I can't keep up with this twice a week again. It's cuckoo only me. I'll bring it once a week. So sometimes when you don't, you know, when people are not, that's why you have to be merciful. So in fact, when I got back, we said, Pastor said, okay, I am not cleaning bedroom. If it was, I said, I am in there. Oh, clean bedroom. I just said, I clean it. Because I now understand that sometimes you just got no energy to want to clean any nada. So many so say, what is she doing? What is she doing? She's just at home with the baby. She's not doing consumption. Ah, may God have mercy on you. So give honor to your wife, in even in the way you talk. In, you know, imagine your boss. If you want to know sometimes how to know, say, I don't know how to honor. I'm doing my best. Imagine if you have a female boss at work. How you will treat your female boss. Sometimes you help them. Maybe I come here, madam, make me bag. How many of you help your wife to carry bag? Help her. No, this week was one of the days. They helps me. Maybe when I'm going to work, she sometimes help me drop my bag in the car. So of course, most time I can still do, since I went to US, my life has changed. I've learned to do things more for myself. Many times I tell her, just go, I will carry it. Because I got used to doing things on my own. So I remember one of these days when she was not to church, she was going to office. She said she wanted to pack my bag. I said, don't worry, I said you can go. I said I will pack it when I'm done. So when I was now going to office, I packed the bag, I carried water. I was already used to the way I used to carry everything. I carried so Pastor was reading my brain. He just said, I don't worry. I said, if I get back in here, I'm a bag. I'm just kind of I felt so happy. He was not as if I cannot carry it though. I know. I said, but don't worry, I will carry it now. I'm used to, you know, normally it's good, but I'll put it on my bag. I'll carry my water. There was a way I just carry everything and I'm just good and I'm going. Because it was touching, he said, don't worry, I will follow it. And then he carried it and it was good. And I was just walking at the back. And I was feeling like a princess. Say, honor your wives. Honor them, help them. Let them feel special. Let them feel good. You see, when you're doing that, heavens will be opened. Your prayers will not be hindered. You won't struggle. He's not the one that you'll be going and your wife will be cursing you in the inside. Oh, Rio Ria Boshenlo. And then that's when you now say, in the God command, you say, I'll share scripture. Just say, hey, share. Just sit down there. Open the book of 2 Corinthians. You're not open scripture. I'm listening. Okay. See him, he just left in the morning. He did not even help us do anything. He just said, "Wasa kama kabaibu." You're not saying, I'm saying amen in my mind. In my mind, it's the heart that the Lord sees. Just be praying. Are you not praying? I'm praying, be praying. I'm praying in my mind. She's not happy with him. Say, honor your wife. Honor your wife. Help your wife. Serve them. Ask them. I want to know you better. What are the things you like? What do you feel I should be doing? What am I doing that I'm not doing right? I don't want to be any. I didn't know that I was hurting her. He should know. When a woman is answering you to one syllable, you are starting hurting her. When you are talking to her, she's turning her eyes away and not looking at you. You are hurting her. You have been married for 3 years and you don't know. They need to beat you. Say, dwell with them with understanding. Yes, sir. I didn't even know. Mommy said, she went me to him. Come on, she got comfort. Have you been saying so? Let me say it in English because some people say, Mommy, I didn't even know I was hurting now. It's just this way you're just saying it. I didn't know. Me, I was just doing my own thing. Say, don't be doing your own thing. Pay attention to your wife. Pay attention to her. Give her attention. Let her know. Whatever business she's doing, don't assume that this business is doing well. Don't assume that she's strong. Ask her, what is happening? How is the business going? Change, are you making profit? What's your profit? What is the... Just show... Don't say, me too, I have my own headache. Yes. But it should be you that say you want to marry. It's you that said you want to marry, that you want a woman. You told her she changed her name. She took up your name. She has become your property. Abby? She changed name because of you. She rejected her father's name and took up your own name. That the new father. So you ask, pay attention to their career, their business, ask questions. See, how is it going? That is dwelling with understanding. So not just only spiritual understanding, even understanding in the natural. Amen. 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 So you see that it's not easy to be a man. Love your wife as yourself. No, Ephesians tells us that. Give me Ephesians. Say, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church. Not the way your father did to your mom. Not the way men, you know, men at work. When they're like, I want to open your money, it's money they like. That's how men have. If you give them one rope, they will take, what's the way they used to say the pastor that? As in, if you give them one, they will go tell, you don't take nonsense from your wife. Oh, if you give them one rope, they will take 10 rope. Those are philosophies of men, basic principles of this world. Say, so just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So a man should give himself for a woman. So you say give himself, it's not just only money, it includes money. You will give yourself, you will give your ego. That's the first thing you will give your wife. You will throw it away. Every ego, you give yourself. Even sometimes when you are not wrong and she's angry, even if you know what you have done or you don't know, just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. For the one I did, what? You don't know what you did. Okay, I know what I did. I'm sorry. I hurt you. I'm sorry. Even though your mind, I'm sorry. Lord, and gave himself, you give everything, your pride, your ego, you lay everything down just for one thing, because you want to see her sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water by the word. You don't want to, the money, you don't want to make your wife angry and then come to church and not be able to listen to message. As you don't find. So even if I say, okay, sister, my binu, so that at least when you go to church, you can hear word where. No, sometimes we women, am I saying the truth? If your husband hurts you, when you come to church, the first 1 hour, you're not even hearing anything. You're still meditating on that thing until you now grow. The time now when you grow, you'll not be thinking about those things again. You just use it as Vaseline to rub your skin and just forget. But you know, at some time, you still be thinking about the thing. Hey, that guy. Hey. You now look at him in the church. You now see him raising his hand. See his hand. It should be as if you should have stretchy and just pull his hand down. Come on, that yeah. So husbands ought to love their own wife. So you want to do everything to make sure that your wife is not hurt with the word.
Hallelujah.
You want to in the morning. You want to help your wife to come early to church so that she can learn. You want to help her. So, see, my wife is not spiritual. She doesn't pray. She doesn't read Bible. Why doesn't she pray? Why doesn't she read Bible? Maybe she's stressed with work. You want to help her out so that she can have most. You give yourself. So even when you are tired from work and you want to stretch your hands and just stretch your leg and all that, you say, no, if I do this, my wife will not be able to, she will walk into the night. She will not be able to wake up in the morning and pray. Let me assist her. That is what it means to give yourself. It's not like I give myself away. It's not like that. You give, he said he gave himself. So you give your time. You give your comfort. You give everything just to make sure. And it's just for one thing. You see, the reason why she's doing it is not because of what you will gain back. Not because of what you will gain back so that she will honor you. It is for one thing, so that she can be cleansed, so that she can be sanctified. That you might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27. that he may present her to himself a glorious. Shall we say anything? If you pick a woman comes, takes up your name. But 5 years time, 10 years time, when we see that woman should be becoming more glorious. Should be becoming more Christ-like. So the woman will come to your house with spots. She will come to your house with wrinkles. She will come with blemish. Don't say, I don't even understand that. And I'm shocked, though. All these are our sisters in truth. We should pay attention to them. See, I can't even believe it's you. What got any problem? Because I already said it. She will come to you with spot, with wrinkle, with blemish. Part of your duty is to wash her. Is to see how she can get better. How she can be cleansed. How she can. So you see that's why women, you cannot go and put your head under one man that cannot do this. The man will say in sport itself. In sport, what you see tiger lo? I be see nipa di lo. Onga sporty. Be holy and without blemish. Verse 28. So husbands, ought. So this is how to love a woman. This is how to live with a woman, what? With understanding. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but does what? Nourishes. And that brings me to the last thing I want to talk about. A man should nourish the wife, both spiritually and naturally. You should nourish her with the word, with prayer, with love, with patience. Say patience. Give her enough time for the word to have effect and for her to change. Nourish her. Cherish her. Don't be say, I think I made a mistake. Mind this woman. You have already failed. I even think she was pretending. You have already failed. A woman, you should cherish something. You don't want to lose it. You've got no regret about that thing. I say, this is the best package I could ever have gotten. And you are grateful. When you cherish something, you will always thank God. So that's when you wake up in the morning. After thanking God, thank God for your wife. Say, God, thank you for blessing me with this woman. Thank you for giving me the privilege to nourish this woman. Thank you for trusting me with a soul. It is trust for a woman, for God to give you a woman. What did I say? It is trust. You know what the Bible says? Any that findeth a woman has what? Found what? Found a good thing. And what? Obtained favor. So when you open your mouth and go and meet a sister, you say, it's God's will, I found you. And the sister says, yes. And you have married the sister. Homo, good thing has happened to you. Amen. Favor has found you. Amen. And so you must be grateful to God for it. That is how a man should live. That is how you can inherit life. Man, if you don't pass this one, forget eternal life. That is how to inherit life. Amen. So God is giving us a new slate. So this new year, we should go and turn a new leaf in the way we relate with our women. Then we have open heavens. We have blessings. We can have access in the spirit. Not just only in the spirit, even in the natural. A man that doesn't know that you little money you have, the little 3 digits that you are collecting, you have not known how to nourish your woman. How do you feel God will bless you with 6 digits? Because you know that you'll be trampling on that woman. That you have collecting maybe 150,000, 200,000. Say, how did you spend it? You drink water. Why did you drink water? Why didn't you put water in the bottle when you're coming to church? How do you feel God will now? Do you feel you are qualified to be giving more than that? You've not been faithful to your family in the resources God has given you, to your wife. You've not lived with her as one with your finances. You know, I said, if a woman is keeping a separate, but she's not justified to do that. The woman is not justified to do that. But if that is happening, we need to also question the man. The woman is not justified to do that. On no cost. Know that somebody's disobedience is not your own. It's not an excuse for also walking disobedience. But we also need to question the man and ask him, is he one with that woman in purse?
Yes.
You know the way, you know what Bible says, the way you love yourself. Say, love your wife the way you love yourself. You know the way you, when you want to spend money, you know how to justify the spending of the money because you are the one collecting the money. But if it is for a wife, you cannot justify that. I'm not giving an excuse that women should be wasteful or maybe there should not be accountability or whatever. But you know, he said you should love your wife as your own self. The way you want to spoil yourself at times, just say, well, come on. I'm not working. I'm supposed to work, but I'm not checking today. I want to take bike. Even though it is short distance, I will take bike. Because you're having mercy on yourself. Allow your wife also to have some of those things. Love your wife, serve your wife. When your wife is, even if you don't have so much, when your wife is celebrating her birthday, even if you cannot buy gifts, you cannot buy card, write something beautiful. Don't send it as WhatsApp, or write it down. Amen. Put it under the bed and give her. Amen. And say, I love you. Thank you for everything. I appreciate her. And if you can save money, if you can save money, get the money, buy her something. Doesn't have to be something very, it doesn't have to be something expensive. There are, if you don't have so much, I'm not saying you should go and break the bank. Stop, Gillian says, sells a ring, 500. It's not in the whatever, but you know, just show appreciation. Say, thank you, see that. This is your Christmas gift. This is your New Year gift. I don't have so much, but just take it. This is a token of my love for you. You know, just appreciate her. Thank you for taking care of the children. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for bearing with me. You know, with all this, we don't have money. You still bear with me. Thank you. Thank you for all the pressures we are going through together. Don't just say, you're not bringing anything. You're not even helping me. You're not even understanding. Even if she's like that, still do what God says you should do. Do your own part. Live with understanding. After a while, she will pick up. See, for no one ever, no one. How many of you hate yourself? Say, you nourish and cherish. That's the same way you must nourish your women. You must cherish them. You see, this church, they don't want to see men that don't respect their women. If we do that, life marginal, see what? I want to see men that are all over their women. That love their women, that they honor them, they want to serve them. I don't want to see your wife carrying baby, carrying bag, and then you are just lifting your hand in the church all the time. I want to see you carry your child at times. Help them do assignments. Even though you are first, help them do assignments. See, as it is, my children, they said they prefer their daddy coming to pick them. Those times before Emmanuel used to come, they said, we prefer, because me, if I, there was one day I went to pick them. As I was coming, that was that one car hit me and my tire. So many things went wrong. And I said, oh God, it's because I came to pick, you know, normally nagging women. So it's because I came to pick, and then I said, we miss our daddy. And the day our daddy traveled, he said, that's why we like our daddy coming to pick us. Our daddy does not complain. My husband does PTA. Open day. Me, I said, I don't have time. I have meeting at work. He will do open day. And it's not because maybe he doesn't have things to do. He will do open day. He has done PTA chairman. He will do open day. He will go to school. He will do all those things. In fact, when they come, they say they want to buy test. They say, come, see me that buy test before. They come meet your daddy now. They didn't know. If I even a new car, I don't have one. I said, why you do something? Come meet your dad. He knows their list of books. He knows how many books they've bought. He knows the ones they've not bought. Me, I don't. Me, those are supposed to be the other way around. They say, which book have you not bought? Hey, you go, it's not like when you're in the world. It's not like as in, he knows he keeps track. Don't say he's women. Grandma, man, no. My daddy and fupu, God meets your mommy, no. Why can't you wash the? Why can't you wash the bum bum? Man, you produce that child together. You should love your wife. You should serve. You should serve your children. Serve your family. Let your children know. Let your children know that men serve. Amen. Let them see you serve their mother. Let them see you love them. They will grow up and do the same. Time has gone. Let's quickly rush to the next one. To the women. Oh, you thought it's only men. See that, bro. Okay, 1 Peter 3. Let's start from verse 1 to 5. We quickly rush. We can't get to the last part, so maybe we'll just stop with this. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word. I don't remember that they're not speaking to unbelievers here. So there are even some of the men that, even though they told them to even live with understanding, that they will still not live with understanding. They will not obey the word, that they should live with you with understanding. So they might still be insensitive. They might not do what they said they should do. That, just telling you that someone's disobedience is not an excuse for you not to do what is right. They say, this is why I'm doing like this. It's because my husband is doing this. Say that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. So there's a way a woman should conduct herself. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting. See, they just said, do not make it merely out. They did not say you should not. Because there's some women too that they don't look good. And I'm still going to get there. As before you got married, you were always on point. Now, especially when people get pregnant. Hey! So they're not saying that you should not do, say, but don't let it just be only the outward arranging of hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. But most importantly, like Pastor told us today, there are weightier matters of the law, and things like that, but they don't say that we should neglect the other ones. Verse 4, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very what? Precious in the sight of God. Verse 5, for in this manner, former times, the only women who trusted in God also did what? Adorned themselves, being what? Submissive to their own husband. So submission is adornment. Why did I say? Submitting to one's husband. You know, when Gillian came to my office when I was talking, I said that I found out that every man wants a sweet woman. Why did I say? I said that, and that when you are sweet, you know, I don't want to use submission, but I use some other words. When you are a sweet woman, when your husband sees you as a, and that sweet woman is not because you are figure eight or whatever, has a sweet character. You are peaceable. You have kind words. You're just sweet. You are a place of succor. Said, a man, even if the man has cross, you will disarm him. Said it is just beautiful for a woman to be sweet. As you are just sweet, you are just tender. You are not giving your husband okay, no, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Said every man wants a man that is sweet, a man that you can easily talk to. That you can talk to, that will not be always countering you. You don't understand. You say, hey, no, it's not here. Can't you see that the way it is? You're always pointing out his flaws. There's no man that likes that. Even though we say everybody should like criticism. But if you keep at that, you cannot enjoy the best of your husband. I'm telling you. You're always argumentative. When they raise one issue like this, you cannot see eye to eye. Sometimes you might, you know, most men usually feel they are smarter than our husbands. So when they say something, you have already that thing. As they say that thing, you have seen all the Lagos, Akure, Kano of that issue. But he is only seeing Abeokuta. But you have already seen those, and then you want to. Sometimes you just need to. One of the things God will do with you as you grow is that you would learn to know when to press the brake. And so even, I was saying, they said, it's not, there are times that maybe I feel this is, my husband is saying, this is how you feel something, and I feel otherwise. And in fact, it's obvious that, and I'm, those are the, why can't you, it's glaring. Say, but I've learned, and I didn't become natural before. I'll be painting it. This is how it is. This is how you should see it. This is how you should do that. But you see, also, and that is what the Bible says, that older women should teach younger women how to love their husband. There's a way to love a man. See, the way the love language of a man is different from what, you know, is more than cooking food and good bed and all that. Being submissive, not being argumentative, not wanting to hold your point above his own point, is one of the ways of winning a man's heart. A man says something. I'm not saying you should be a fool, that you don't have any objection. But I mean, when I say countering a man, you know the way some women counter a man. When they counter, tackle man, you buy. So if a man wants to even say something, you have to check it very well. See, am I saying, am I putting it down very well? Because he knows that you always meet you always meet like a resistance. You shouldn't be like that. You should be sweet. So now, I said, sometimes you allow things to lie. You tell your husband, there's something up here, and then you are, see, this thing, this is not how we are supposed to do it. And he says, no, this is how we are supposed to. Sometimes you just allow it to lie. You don't, and you just go and pray about it. And the person that said no will be the one that will come back and say what? Say yes. And after a while, your husband will come to a place where he will even trust your judgment. But if it is always counter, said you would never have a smooth ride in that family. Sometimes just allow things to ride. You honor your husband. You know, before you do it, I honor my husband. Until when my brother began to come and use something, I said, that was I said that. So I used to say, not before. If you are saying something, I said, instead of me to say, in control not coming, I'll just walk away. I said, don't worry. So one day when my mommy and me said that day I got to my house, I had to be, I said, my God, man, walk away. It's not, I just felt that, because nothing I said, the way you are saying it, if I say I should reply you, then that's what I said, of replying you, let me just say, it's okay, let's forget the discussion. So that day when she used that example, say, so this thing is darkness. That is even trying to talk to me to explain something. I just said, no, don't worry, go soro. Let's just forget about it so that we don't argue. Just say, I'm still talking. I said, don't walk on it, huh? It's okay. And just, I said, why? I said, so why she used that example? I had to repent that it was dishonorable. When your husband wants to talk to you, she'll be able to sit down and have a discussion. Even if what he's saying, even if it is provoking you, you just have to learn how to sit down and have a conversation. The best thing, what you are saying is hurting me. It's not that you just say, don't worry, let's, you know, although some of those examples, walking away, you know, replying, he says, hey, you give him B, C, D. That doesn't mean we may have words now. I'm just giving B, C, D. All of them. And you just feel that I'm just expressing myself. That is just me. No, it is not me. That is darkness. Just have, okay, What are you saying? Okay, I read. Well, though I have a different perspective to this issue. But anyway, let's see how it should go. God will help us. And then you allow it to rest. After some days, you can come back and raise it when it's in a good mood. When I now begin to tackle and tackle and do everything, they can't. You know, all of those things makes the atmosphere in the womb not conducive. So women should be sweet. Say women should be sweet. No, I was still speaking to my daughter. You used to tackle Ruby. Now to that, I said, Ruby, say, see, there are certain things I see you pick from me, but I don't want you to pick it. Say that even me, your mommy, I am dropping it. I said, I want you to be a sweet girl. Say all this tackling. Ruby said, mommy, you don't know him. What you used to do? I said, I know. He said, he will just keep doing those. I said, yes, he will keep doing it. I said, well, just bear him. Just, I said, because of that, that doesn't mean you should be rude to him. I said, you need to learn those things. He said, yes. I said, you said, where are you to pray about this thing and cry? I said, I don't want you to be crying like that. So Janica said, okay, I've heard. I said, I want you to be a sweet girl. I want you to be sweet in words. The way you talk to people. I said, I want you to be sweet in words, sweet in character. Just be a sweet girl. I said, okay, I've heard. I said, God will help you. I said, amen. But it's good to be, tell him, say, it's good to be sweet. It's not good. There's nothing beautiful about being cantankerous. As I was just correcting him, he be telling me, but I said, before, hey, I used to, my mother said, hey, you want you to pick it. I said, why should I pick it? So why should you also be dropping it all the time? He said, you to just say, can't you just overlook it and just maybe drop something there? Say, you know, men, if they buy new clothes, you know, that's nylon and paper, they'll just throw all the paper on the floor and just take the clothes and wear it and they'll put it in the cupboard. Say, why should you also drop it? Say, but just to avoid all this, why can't you just pick it? That's, say, and then, you know, just argue. It's okay, multiply, you go and pick it. I didn't know that I was using me to shakoi. Until later, I don't know, okay, no problem. So I'll just give it. It's one night, but I said, oh, Gafunya, shati mu. He said, I'm a binu. He said, I'm a binu, until they change. Instead of being cantankerous, he's not flushing the toilet well. And then you start get angry. You have said it over and over and again and it's not changing. Don't let that. Satan can sit on that thing. I'm using it to spoil you. Don't you just see, just take the thing and just flush it. And say, Motisha, coin la, right? And just put the coin in your pocket. Satan will just set up some of those things. You know, Satan set up some of those things at times just to lose life. And then you must learn to pray for your husband. Things in your husband that you don't like, that makes you easily offended. Sometimes you can't change them. All you need to do is just to take it to God in prayer. By the time you start praying about those things, find out that you have grace to overlook them. So just pray about them and just pray. And also know, that you have things also that man too is also bearing. Just be merciful. Say, be merciful. Just excuse the other person. Just be merciful and just pray. And you know, but one of the things I want to say is that women should have kind words. You should be like Abigail. Have kind words towards your husband. Don't speak to your husband. I've found out that men don't like that. Don't speak to you, no matter how, don't speak to your husband anyhow. Try as, I know sometimes it can be very difficult, but try as much as possible. And when you do it, sometimes when I still do that, I say, I don't like the way you touch it. If I say, but I'm watching sorrow. No, I don't do that again. I've confessed. I said, I'm a binu. And I didn't know. Say, I don't. So you're not, remember those days. They said, I am not your resident at work. Don't talk to me. I say, how did I talk? I said, but Moshe saw. I just said, don't see when all these women began to come and then they began to use some of this practical example, then I had to start making adjustment. Because I just thought that was just me. I'm just being expressive. After all, in our family now. You should be able to talk. Say honor. Honor needs to be there. So even when you want to make amendments, you need to speak. These are things that we women easily, you know, fall into. You know, I've also been there. You know, even honor, it's not as if I'm perfect, but I take a lot of conscious efforts, you know, to make sure that I don't fall into that sin. You should honor your husband. Submit to them. You know, don't be cantankerous. Don't be jigbo, jigba, jigbo. If they want to tell you something like this, they have to first of all go and pray 1 week before they can talk to you. Let your husband be easy. Say the heart of our husband safely lies with her. Let your husband be free with you. That he can easily tell you things. If he's going through things, he can easily share his burdens with you. He can easily share his pains with you. And he can easily share his joy with you. So the heart of a husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. A woman should be sweet. Say a woman should be sweet. And if you're not like that, start believing God for change. That God, help me. Help me to change in this area. Help me. Look for every way, practical ways of honoring your husband in serving his food. Not before, when we first got married, when I served my husband food, I just put rice, put stew, everything together on one plate. You know, and all that. But now, after I had all those things, I had to take conscious effort. Even the way I serve his food, the way I do all of this, I want to try and honor him and give, you know, practical examples of how to honor. And I pray that the Lord will give you specific things that are particular to you on how to further do what? Honor your husband. That is the beauty and that is the blessing. I was telling Gil, I said, all the things I enjoy, even in the natural, I said, it is not me. I said, it is two things. I said, it is my husband and the brethren. I said, as I am, I serve my husband with everything I have. And I also want to serve the brethren that same way. I said, and that is the secret. I said, I'm not a very smart or very wise person or whatever. I said, sincerely, I said, but everything I have, I want to use it to serve my husband. I just want to please him. I just want to make him happy. I don't want him to be having headache. I wish I could help him carry the burden of Krishi, but I don't have that plenty. But what I'm trying to say that, as in, I just want to relieve him of every... I don't want him having any unnecessary... He's thinking about house rent. If I have the money, why? If God blesses me, if whatever money it is our money. So I don't even think about it. Oh, we want to do this. I don't can be... bring money. Yeah, you have not paid for this one. I said, since I have, if the resources come into my hands, this is for us. Actually, I don't even think about it. How much has it dropped? How much? If I see, I wish to increase. I say, what did I use it for? It's petrol that I used to buy. You understand? But as in, just I said, when you are like that, God will bless you and prosper you. I said, I looked at it. I said, it is not everything I have. I just want to serve him. Just serve him with everything that I have. Just serve him, make him happy, make him comfortable, make him the best thing he's supposed to be. As in any way. That's just. And then also serve the brethren. I said, and I found out that is just the secret to favor. I said, so I don't struggle. I said, I don't struggle for things, sincerely. Except it is not, God doesn't want to give me that thing. I said, I don't like struggling. I said, I don't struggle for things. I said, I just enjoy favor. If I want something, if I want a program, if anything is happening to me in my place of work, if I go and meet my husband, and my husband prays for me, that thing is done. Except the Lord doesn't want me to have it. I said that is just the secret. I said, you won't struggle for so many things, you won't be labor, sickness will even be far away from you because you'll be under covering. So as a woman, that is the whole essence of being married. When you marry, don't say I'm a bakoko, but just like that, you are just there to just see that man becomes everything that God wants him to be. So if you're a selfish person, you are looking for somebody to come and love you and pamper you, the pamper your father did not give you. Say, they are not fit to go and marry. Say, because marriage is about serving. It's about serving the other person, serving the person with everything that you have. So when God wants to serve the man, you want to do things for him, you want him to be the best of himself, not just only spiritual, even physical. You know, and he said, when I see a man that is not dressing well, I hold the woman responsible. Yes. I know how Pastor City used to be now before I married Lydia. dusty. Well polished, fine hairstyle. That is it, a woman. By the time a woman comes into your life, about rebuff, and my rebound down fine, won't look good, eh? Morisha, where? That's a woman. You know, before Timmy didn't used to smile, since it's yesterday. Until Timmy married Lara, then I began to see him smile. I said, oh my God, oh. Marriage is good. But that's how it's supposed to be. A woman, you should come into a life of a man. And that man should increase. That man should be a better version of himself. So you don't pay only attention only to the physical, only to the spiritual aspect of it. Even the physical, the way he looks, his work. You want him to be the best at work. You ask him how his work going. Not that you should just be collecting money. You won't pay school fees. You won't pay out. Ask him how his work going. How can you improve yourself? Is there anything you can do? Is there something you want to do that can get you better? And you also help your husband to also serve the Lord. That is what a woman should do. You should help a man to do what? Serve the Lord. Help him to serve. Men don't like staying under. So as a woman, you should help your husband to serve the Lord, to stay under, to give himself to things of God. Because most times, because of bills and so many things, they can easily be taken away with their job. It's the wife of God always reminding me, Oni, I'll be sweetheart, I'll be baby, you know. You need to give more attention to God. We need to give more attention to this area. You need to do this more. Hello, keep pastor. Hello, now Pastor Friday. Move here, close more Pastor Bright. You know, you push him. You allow your husband to be friends to people that will make him grow. Say, so I want you to be. You see, I want you to be. Let us go and greet these people. Let's go and spend a weekend with these people. All you're trying to do is just to foster relationship with your husband. Let us go and greet these people. Let's go and do this to these people. That is what a woman should do. Amen. With you, your husband should prosper in the things of God. Amen. Amen. And lastly, 1 Peter 3:8-10. So you know I've said it will be long today. We soon finish now. 1 Peter 3:8-10. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. So you've looked at relationship, husband, wife. Then that said, all of you, brethren, have compassion for one another. Say, have compassion for one another. And I believe these are the stages, these are the next phases God is going to bring us into. You know, Pastor Tayo Fason preached a powerful message during Image and Glory Conference when he was talking about that parable of the Good Samaritan. That parable, I've gone to listen to that message over and over again. If I was the first message that I listened to, God really touched me. Say compassion. Compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Say love as brothers. No, and when God was teaching me what it means to love as brothers, have you seen brothers fight? Have you seen brothers where they fight? When brothers fight, they fight as if tomorrow. They still want to kill themselves today. But afterwards, you see them do what again? Now I have brothers. I have 3 brothers. I said I'll last 2. If when they start fighting like this, if I just keep going. Next time, I just see them. They'll be on phone from morning to night. They are talking. They will still have themselves, so they will, and therefore they will fight again. They will reconcile again. Say love as brothers. So you see, it is hypocrisy for you to think that we will not fight. We will fight, but the beauty of it is that we will reconcile. We will forgive. That is the beauty of it. So when it is, we want to fight to finish, you are not loving as brothers. You fight and you fight as if you give no room for reconciliation. That is not love. So you say, love as brothers. Be tender hearted. And then what? Be cautious. Say cautious. Be cautious. Is it cautious or courteous? Courteous. Cautious. Okay. Be cautious. The way you relate to one another. I say that sometimes. The way we relate to one another, we don't relate with courtesy. Just somebody talk to somebody. Even me, I used to fall a victim of that. No, sometimes I correct without courtesy. Me, I'm already believing God. This, if I tell my husband, I say, that's one of the things I believe in God for this year. That we be angry and not sin. I'm already fantasizing that. I'm seeing myself this year. And this same also, being cautious to everyone. Not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that what you were called to this, that you may do what? So the reason why we will do this, to come into life, we have to do this. So it is very important. Compassion for one another. So you are the one that's supposed to do an household chore, and then the person is not back, and then you are at home, you're not doing anything. Just do it. Yeah, this person, by the time she comes up, she may have been tired. Let me just do it. Don't say, no, it's already set. You know, that compassion is putting other people in your shoes. Compassion. So it will, because you know, we're always, like Pastor Tao said, we are always merciful towards ourselves. You are compassionate on yourself. You excuse yourself. Don't you excuse yourself? Sometimes you don't pray, say, ah, go easy, all right, meaning. You excuse, not the way you excuse yourself, but you have mercy on yourself. I'm saying that you should have that, you should extend that towards your brother. So you can excuse your brother. You can have mercy on your brothers, because maybe I've been praying to God. You see, I wrote all these things down. I had to list them. Say, finally, as in, all have this. Because if you don't have, he said that so that you can inherit. You know, Pastor Anisimus preached one prayer that I told myself, that last image I grew, that pre-conference. He said something. He said that because of the blessing, he said Esau did not have respect for the blessing. That there are many things that you might have to despise because of the blessing that you overlook. You might have to overlook your brother's sin and infirmity because of the blessing. Say because of the blessing. Because there is something at stake. So we must not be like Esau, who did not have respect for the blessing. Amen. So when you're relating with brethren, you see, one of the people you should fear most when you're relating with is the brethren. Amen. See, God jokes. God can joke with everything, but not with his brethren, Amen. Not with his people. Amen. Sometimes sometimes when I misbehave towards the brethren, in the morning when I wake up like this, go see fellowship, go see website, it's down. I mean, network is down. Server is down. And then when I chase it, I know it's the brethren that you have hurt them. When you hurt them, you touch God. He said, if you give this little one person in my name, he said, you have done it to me. Some people said that when I was hungry, you gave me. If you said that when you give you said that, he's not someone that has done it to one of these cities, said, you have done it to me. So sometimes you do things that touch the brethren and you touch God, either good or evil. So you must have eye for the blessing. Amen. Can you give me Hebrews? No, God was teaching me this. Hebrews, is this Hebrews 13? When he said that you've endured the plundering of your things, knowing that there was something that produced it, there's a knowledge. You know that there is something at stake. Can you help me look for that scripture? Hebrews 10:13. For you had compassion on me in my chains. Can you see? Compassion on me in my chains. And joyfully accepted the plundering. You know what they say? They plunder you. Won't waste here. You know, so when brethren spoil your things, they spoil your freezer, they spoil your everything, they just waste your things, waste your gas, you know, it's painful. Plundering of your goods. Said, well, you joyfully, not many times, even I've not gotten to this place because I don't joyfully accept it at times. I complain. I will complain. Well, what was he saying? That say, all these things that you people are doing, hey, even Nashima Kabadesi, hello, Belong Gilia, what don't you see? That time they used to break my things. Remember when they shank it, mommy, they've broken, you know, that flowers, they won't jog, they're broken. You know what I said? They say, people don't share 40 minutes, yeah. She just smiled. You know, me and Gila, we used to do, we are like that. So, but what I'm saying is that, no, so we don't, sometimes we don't even joyfully accept these things. I'm also praying to God. Say, but they joyfully accepted plundering of your goods. No, why? No, there was something that produced it. Knowing that you have what? A better. And what? An enduring possession. This is eternal life. This is an incorruptible life. For yourselves, what? In heaven. Not said that, said it is reserved for you, what? In heaven. It is the promise of eternal life. So because of that, they could enjoy. So I've been praying because I said, God, there is a knowledge that produces this thing. Give me that understanding. I wrote it down. I was just studying this early this year, and I saw it. I said, God, this will help me to bear some of these things. Say, God, help me. Give me a knowledge. Let this eternal life thing be clear. Let this blessing, the returns be clear to me. So that all of these things, when they happen, you know, all of those. But you know, sometimes those things touch you as if it is your life. No, but you know, there's a knowledge you can have that will make you, those things will happen. And you will joyfully. You know, you can take it, but you can take it with murmuring. You can take it with complaining. I say, oh, brother, it's sue me. I say, all of you, you cuckoo soon go. I'm reporting myself. I say, you cuckoo go. A cuckoo fellow. That one is not joyfully enduring plunging. But I'm believing God for a knowledge. Say a knowledge that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. And then you can joyfully, then you can have compassion. You can joyfully endure the plundering of your goods. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:7. But the head of all things is at hand. See, so in the last days, don't you like the pastor said, in the last times of the last days. So when the end of all things are done, so therefore be what? Serious. And what? Watchful in prayers. Let's look at verse 8. And above all things, above all the seriousness. So you should do what? Have fervent love for one another. Say, above all these things, above all this, love comes on the peak. Say, love comes on the peak. Say, for love will cover a multitude of sin. And how does these things, how do they find the expression? Verse 9. Say, be what? Hospitable to one another. Without what? These are things God is teaching us. You know, you can house people, you can take people, but you know, it's still with grumbling, just complain. God has told that I should not be making that statement again. You know, all those, you know, easily just say those things, you know, based on maybe their infirmity. Said it is with grumbling, and there is no blessing for that. Say, be hospitable. So, in the last times, one of the things that will signify that we, for us to, that pastor taught us to get salvation. This fullness of sacerdotal tribulation is fervent love. Say fervent love. It's not love. Last one, we need what we call what? Fervent love. It's fervent love that will make you, love will make you hospitable, but you can still grumble. But you know, when you come into the realm of fervent love, it is hospitable without what? Grumbling. Verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it what? So ministering to one another, with the, you know, this is not only spiritual things, so even in the natural, as what? Good stewards. So some of you, when they bring money into your hand, I'm saying it now, that money is not, it's not for weak. That money can come into your hand because another brethren needs it. Maybe the reason why God is giving you the salary, the work you have, the things God has blessed you with, is not only for yourself. It is to be a blessing to you. You are just a steward. Say a steward. You're supposed to now know how to distribute it. Stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God does what? Supply. And I want to say this. Say ability. So there's always, I want you to put a little bit of check. You know, there are times that, you see, Pastor Mi sees has 15 people in her house, living in her house. Sagina has 9 people in living in her house. And then you to say, in our own house, we are going to outdo them. I'm going to take 20 brethren. And you don't have the ability. Say ability. It is there. Let him do it with the ability which God supplied. So we all have capacity of what we can bear, of what we can do. No, because sometimes if you stretch this beyond normal, you will get hot. So let him do it with the ability which God supplied. That in all things, it is not for you, for your own sake. And we too, we are also hosting brethren. We also have brethren in our house. In fact, Pastor has 15, I have 20. So some religious show, the way they think. Say that in all things that what God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong what? The glory, the dominion forever and what? And ever. Amen. So there is a far more enduring inheritance. And then for and another thing we must know, that let's look at 1 Peter 2:21-24. You know, one thing we must also learn to know is that we have imperfect people. And God wants us to bear each other's burden. Say, for to this cause you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So we are supposed to follow the steps of Christ. What was the step of Christ? Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24. Who himself bore our sins, what? In his own body on the tree, so that we having died to sin, might live for what? Righteousness. So he said we should follow the steps of Christ. What was his step? Christ bore our sins. He bore our infirmities so that we can come into righteousness. The same thing also, we must bear one another's burden, one another's infirmity. You know, like I said, like I read in that Ephesians, said the husband should give himself to the wife, so that she can be sanctified and cleansed. Sometimes you have to bear the infirmities of your brother so that they can come into what? Salvation. Amen. So part of following in the steps of Christ is bearing one another's body. Said, bear one another's body, so fulfill the law of Christ. So learning to bear. You know, Pastor was teaching us this morning that we must have faith and patience. Faith that people will change, and the patience to see that change coming. It's not that it does get, oh, that sister, forget. That brother, oh, forget. No. Say faith and patience. So it was our faith that people will change, and also the patience to wait for that change to do what? To find expression. So say, bear one another's burden. Lastly, now I've prepared another, we are going to stay long. Lastly, I want us to look at 5 things that is expected of you as a saint. You know, when we read that Josiah, he talked about the whole assembly, how they should follow this. And it is 5 things. Follow, 5 things that is expected of you as a saint is to follow, honor, minister, serve, and pray. What did I say? Follow, honor, minister, serve, and do what? And pray. Judges 5:2-3, very read it. When leaders lead, and what? People willingly offer themselves. Bless the Lord. The things of God prosper. Willingly offer themselves is that they follow. So when you are a saint, it is expected for you to do what? To follow. Say follow. One of the three characteristics of a sheep is that a sheep follows. And that must be one of, as light is coming, one of the things it helps you to do, it helps you to do what? To follow. Don't want to be different. It is a goat that behaves that way. When you see a sheep, you see all of them, they flock together. It is goat that when we go to But for sheep, you see, amen. It's working. Okay. So for sheep, you see sheep, they flock together. But when you see, when you know if you're a goat or a sheep, is that when everybody is following, and then you decide, all of you, are, you see, this message, they said, all of them are thinking the same way. They sit in the day, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Say, be like-minded. Yeah, all of you are thinking the way they don't think outside the box. It's not like that. It's one mind. Say one mind. The more we become Christ, like we have one mind with Christ. Say you don't have your own mind. You don't have your mind. You're not called to have your own mind. You are called to have Christ's mind. And that mind, you don't, it's not you alone that has that mind. He said, we have the mind of Christ. Did not say you, say we. Say we have the mind of Christ. So that thing, I just want you to be different. I don't want all the way they just do all their things together. I mean, I don't like that thing. I like to be separate. That is Satan. Say follow. The next thing is honor. One thing you owe your leaders is to honor your leaders. Say honor. Let's look at 1 Timothy 5, 17 to 18. Let the leaders who rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor. Especially those who labor in what? The word and doctrine. So, you know, because there's a whole lot of dishonor in the church. And let me with all of these things that are happening. All these things are happening in the church. What do they call it? You know, people just generalize things. And then before you know, it starts filtering into our mind. In the way we say, let those who rule well be content worthy of double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and the doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of what? His wages. So what you hold your pastor, follow and honor. Double honor. Amen. Thirdly, same minister. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 to 14. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while he treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does it say altogether for our sake? For our sakes, no doubt it is written that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap what? Your material things. So part of responsibility as a saint is to minister in material things to those that minister to you spiritually. Amen. I know people don't, most pastors don't like talking about this, but I say, if you don't do it, you will not be blessed. If you have sown spiritual things for you, it is a great thing if we reap your material things. Verse 12. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, you have not used this right. But endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel. No, no, most people should not say these things because of this. But we as saints, we should be well trained in that. It is part of our responsibility as what? As saints. The next one says serve. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So one of the things that is expected is that there's no one that comes empty-handed. There is something God has given everyone. And whatever God has given you, you must use it to serve. Serve the brethren. Say serve. So as a saint, it is expected that you should say, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him. Do not be deceived. God is not okay for that one. For whatever a man sows, that we also. And lastly, pray. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. You see Peter and Paul asking, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as what it is with you. So these are things that are expected of us. As light is coming, these are things that are expected, you know, of us. And as leaders as well, 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, God began to tell me this, as leaders also, we also must serve the saints, you know, not grudgingly. Can you give me that scripture, 1 Peter 5? And so to some of the KCC leaders, pastors, even to someone like me as well, you know, if you are serving, leading in any capacity, in the head of the home, and never do the elders who are among you exalt, and who are a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by what? Compulsion. But what? Willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but what? Eagerly. That is how to serve the saints. Not with compulsion, willingly. You know, you do it willingly. Not as being Lord's overdose entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So we're supposed to serve the flock willingly. You know, for leaders, your unit leaders, KCC leaders, pastors, must serve not grudgingly. And you know, also, says to don't put your leaders to a place where they begin to serve you grudgingly. And I think that place is also in Hebrews, that there's a way you should honor your leaders, knowing that they will give up. He said, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul. And those who must give account, let them do so with what? Joy. And not with what? Grief. So that means you can actually pastor with grief. You can serve as a leader with grief. But you know, God, here he was giving injunction to the saints that don't let them do this with grief. Let them do it with joy. For that will be what? Unprofitable word for you. I want us to also look at Proverbs. Lastly, Proverbs. We're talking about, is it Proverbs 23 now? I'm coming. We're talking about that they should look into the affairs of the flock. Proverbs. But you know, in that script, so be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your head. So you know, so when people say, what is your concern? Why are you just monitoring me? Why? It is instruction for people that are leading, that people that are serving you, to look into your state and attend to your flocks. Verse 24. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generation. 25. When the hay is removed, and the tender grows itself, and the herbs and the mountains are gathered. So, hay, things that will not make you grow. They need to look into your state and point out things that will not make you flourish. So when pastor is saying, oh, this, maybe your unit leader is saying this, it is part of the duty that God has given them to identify those things that will not make you flourish. Those things that will not make you, that will not make you come into fruitfulness and establishment. So when the hair is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a feed. That is, there will be fruitfulness. Verse 27. You shall have enough goat's meal for your food, for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maid servant. So looking into the state. So for unit heads, for those that are doing one case or the other, it is part of our duty to look into the state of those that are under us, to make sure that the hay are dead things, things that are not productive, to see. So when people are asking a question, they are doing this not because they are monitoring me. That is why you are in church. They need to monitor you. They need to be sure that you are, you know, part of bearing fruit. In the season of saying I want to be fruitful, part of being fruitful is that people will look into your affairs. People have to question you. Don't say, am I a child? No, you are a child in the house. So people will question you. They will parent you. They will monitor you. They will ask you questions. Don't say, their own is too much. What is it? I have my life. I don't like people. I don't like church people looking into my affairs. Then you can as well carry your bag and go away. Because that is the whole, imagine you going to school and you tell your lecturer to not lecture you. So why are you, why did you come to university? You can as well stay, go and do open university now. Even open university, they still have to lecture them, Abi. So that is what, so I'm believing God that this year, as light comes to us, things will be taken away from our life. Cleansing will take place and order. God will give us instructions that would help us to serve him the right way. Can we rise up on our feet and just respond to God in prayer and receive grace this year? Sorry for taking your time. I just wanted us to look at all those things.
Hallelujah. The Lord is our strength. Can we just appreciate the Lord and thank him for speaking to us this afternoon? Let's just receive grace. I know we are, you know, some of us are still stretching. Just lift up your hands as a sign of connect. How many of you appreciate this word? Can we just lift up those hands and receive grace? That's just a sign that you want to receive a supply of the Spirit to begin to make adjustment. Father, we receive grace as an house. This is a year of establishment. It's a year of alignment. This message is a message of alignment. It's a message of balance. It's a message of closing the gaps. Lord, we give you thanks. We receive mercy. As we appropriate these words in our heart, we receive grace to make change. Can you pray that the Lord will grant you grace for change? We receive grace to change. Lord, we receive grace to make adjustment this year. Lord, I will love my wife better. I'll be sensitive to her. Lord, I'll be submissive to my husband more. I will love the brethren more. I will honor, I will give my pastors double honor. Lord Jesus, I receive grace according to your word. I live according to the standard of God's word, not the standard of this world. I receive grace in the name of Jesus to position my heart well for the receiving of grace. Can you pray for yourself? The Lord God, I allow the truth to treat my darkness. Allow the word to judge my darkness. I submit to the standard of the word. Father, I receive grace to take those steps, everyday steps. I take them every day. I take steps of faith. I take steps of obedience. Lord Jesus, I receive grace to serve you wholeheartedly. If you are a single, receive grace to do the will of God. I will not be under pressure to marry anyhow. I will wait for God. I trust God. I will wait for His time, His will. I will do it ethically. Hallelujah. You know, you can enter a relationship and you break ethics. Some of those things, that's why, you know, at times some of you may think that I've told some of us to wait. And when I'm saying you should wait, I'm not a wicked person. You know, I think I was advising one of my sons and I told him, I said, see, this advice I'm giving you, I may not have given you 7 years ago. I said, I'm also growing up. Yes, I'm saying things clearly. It's better we wait. Let's check things again. And at times when you don't want to follow ethics, you are planning for your downfall. The scripture says an haughty spirit goes before the fall of a man. It's not only you that have sight. The fact that you like someone is not enough to keep a home. I am telling you now. I know that by experience. The fact that you have heard God. You think you love her. Have you lived with her? How are you sure you love her? How are you sure you can? What is the guarantee that you can keep that relationship for 30 years? You know, I just used to look at it. When we were in school, you know, we used to toast each other in school. And all those brother-sister thing. And I understand that some of those things, some of them were child's play. Because they were done without proper supervision. It's just the truth. I am telling you the truth right now. It was just child's play. We didn't know what we were saying. We don't know. And probably some just got lucky. Some were not too lucky. Because there are certain things that must be adopted in you. For a man, and let me tell you, if you want to sustain a relationship with a woman, you need help. Like you have heard teaching, you need help. You need some measure of stature. And it's not like you get all the stature before you marry, but one guarantee is that you're under authority. And you're under authority of people that can shape your life and shape your character. Consistent hearing of the word. And that you are willing to submit. All those things are, they prove your heart and they are good for the soul. So I know that we are pastoring a generation that, you know, this generation say, I don't know what they call this generation. Oh, it's Gen Z. People just live anyhow. Even when you are raising your children, you know the warfare you are going through. Everybody feels they know. And you are very sure. And the way I'm seeing you, I'm already seeing you. This one, literally last 10 years. I'm not lying. You can see it. You see, when you walk with God to a level, you can know something. This one can't last 10 years. You can't last 10 years. When pressure comes, it will crack. Because for you not to crack under pressure, certain things that have been put in your inside you. So, you know, we must be willing. Singles must be willing to do it well. Don't go and toast a sister, settle it on the back, and paint to pastor something else. You have finished the thing. You know what I'm talking about. So people are laughing already. Because I'm going to have a meeting with singles and I'm going to warn you sternly. You understand? You can't finish the deal and come and tell us that you have seen a sister. But you have finished it at the back. If you're already in a relationship. I will never support that. I'm saying it publicly so that you can hear me. I will never support that. I will never be a party to that. If you want to have it your way, have it your way. It's okay. I wish you the best. That's the best I can do for you. But if you want to do it properly, it's not right culturally. It will not be right spiritually. Okay? So, we are people of standards. We are people of ethics. Things are done very well. If you see any flower in this garden, the the flower does not belong to you. They are elders that Jesus put as authority figures in that place. If you pluck the flower and you want to run away, you are breaking order. So you need to hear that now. It's like, you can't just see anybody and choose the person. Even if you see somebody in the street and choose, the person has a father. You need approval of the father. If the person is under spiritual authority, you need the approval of their spiritual oversight before you go ahead and start toasting and say, the Lord spoke to me. Which Lord? The Lord does not break ethics. But you don't know that, okay? And you think you can go ahead, you know? For us, we'll tell you. We'll not even marry you without parental consent. I am telling you. I've told you that. If your parents say no, go and beg them. I will keep begging. Yeah, I told you my own story. We'll beg until they say yes. Because we don't want wahala. We'll still beg them. We'll send people to beg them. We'll do everything we can do to win their hearts. You want to go and do radical wedding? It's not me that you see in your wedding. Like, yeah. You will not see me there. We'll do it ethically. We'll do it properly. So, all of those are the things that we have to repent of. Rebellion. You know, because we have an atmosphere of rebellion in this generation. People don't fear. People do things. And then when you try to correct them, they get angry. You get offended by doing the wrong thing. So we have to trust God. It's a year of repentance. It's a year of learning to do things. When we say alignment, that's what we mean. We align with the standards of God. You can't live anyhow the way you want. So can we receive grace? So it's a total alignment. Mommy preached a message of alignment. Alignment with God touches family life. You have to love your wife. I'm not also perfect in this. You have to love your wife. You have to serve your wife. Any money that comes to your home is the Lord's money. The fact that you are working, you know, some men actually think that it's by their grace. It's not by your grace, so it's God that provided though. The day God is not happy with you, the job will just fiam. You will not be on you understand? And it's not even money that makes you as a man. I keep saying it. It's wisdom, authority, character. Those are the things that shape manhood. Anybody, Yahoo have money now. Yahoo boys have money. Is it about money? I can tell you today, I say this under God. I don't boast, but under Jesus. Anything I need, God provides it. I prefer that than money. As long as it's in the purpose of God for me, God will provide it. That is what is producing it. Is what a man needs. Because if your faith is in money and the money goes, then you now start sweating. You are not a man. You don't have what it takes to trust God. Faith is stronger than money. So as men, we have to train you to live by faith, to walk by faith, to trust God for things, to pray and open the heavens. A man that cannot open the heavens, is that one a man? Can't talk to God, can't bring consolation. You know, what has God said? What is God saying for your family? That's a man. What's the next direction for the home? That's a man. Stop doing braggado in the house because your house must change. That's not a man. You depend on God. You trust God. You can call on the name of God. That is it. So this is a year of alignment. Can we receive grace? And ask God that, God, help me to make adjustments. Every area of my life that needs adjustment. Every area of my life, I receive grace for adjustment. 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 This year, in the name of Jesus, can we begin to thank the Lord? Let's just begin to thank Him. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we receive grace to make adjustment this year. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. We receive mercy. We receive mercy. We receive mercy. We receive mercy as an assembly. Lord, heal us, Lord Jesus. Heal us, Lord Jesus. Heal us, Lord Jesus. Heal us, Lord Jesus. Heal our hearts, Lord. Heal our relationships, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. You see, it's in all these things that measures how much life we have. Without these things being in dark, there is no life.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.